జయం శ్రీపాద పరమహంస పరిప్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నితిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిప్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి, అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి, నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి, ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త బృందకి, శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి, బృందావన ధామ్కి, మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి, మధురపురి ధామ్కి, జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి, ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి, గంగమాయికి, హిమనమాయికి, తులసిదేవికి, భక్తిదేవికి, సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గోర్ ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శీల ప్రభుపాద్. నమాముషుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని ఇది నామిని. నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశకారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీ అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి. నమోస్తు దేవ్యాస విశాలబుద్ధే ఫుల్లారవిందాయుధపత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారతతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకవానయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధాగోపాలనందన పార్థో వత్స సుదీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్. వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటాజేద్రతజల గాంధారనీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేలాకుల. అశ్వథామా వికర్ణఘోరమగర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ. పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోత్కటం నానాఖ్యానకేసరం హరికథ. సంబోధనాభూదిదం లోకై సర్జన షల్పదైరహరహ పేపీయమానం ముద భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంకం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. యం బ్రహ్మావరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్తన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్వేదై సాంగపదై క్రమౌపనిషదేర్ గాయంతి యం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యంతి యం యోగినో యస్యాంతం న విదుస్సురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. అభయ సత్వ సంశుద్ధిర్ జ్ఞానయోగ వ్యవస్థితి దానం దమశ్చయజ్ఞస్య స్వాధ్యాయ సప ఆర్జవం అహింస సత్యమక్రోధం త్యాగశాంతిరపైశ్వినం దయా భూదేషు అలోలుప్తం మార్దవం హ్రీ అచాపలం తేజక్షమా దృదృశౌచం నద్రోహో అతిమానిద దైవీక సంపదం దేవి అభిజాతస్య భారత. కృష్ణ ఇస్ సెయింగ్ దాట్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ వాట్ హీ హాస్ స్పోకన్ ఇన్ దోస్ త్రీ వర్సెస్ which is called a Devi Sambhata. This Devi Sambhata is what you see in the yogis, in the jnanis, in the devotees, and all those who are Bhagavadas, as they call them, the devotees. In all of them, these are the qualities you find more. So, if you are short of these qualities, then that is what we are short of in spiritual life. These are the qualities what should be present in a jnani or a yogi or a devotee, whoever it may be. This is spiritual life, spiritual qualities, right? So, as I said yesterday, that normally devotees say like this, who are doing sadhana, they say that I am not able to make progress in spiritual path. What they are saying is, when they say like that, what they are saying that they are not able to chant properly, they are not able to meditate properly, or they are not able to do the deity worship, able to concentrate their mind, focus on things, and things like that. Generally, when devotees say like that, that's what they mean. That they are not able to be able to focus their mind on the chanting or meditation or deity worship or whatever that is, right? But Krishna is saying, don't give importance to those things so much. If these qualities are building up inside, it means that you are progressing spiritually. This is how Krishna sees that. If these qualities are developing inside, what he listed in that three verses, if they are developing inside, then it means you are making progress spiritually. Not based on particular day, if you are, while you are chanting, that you are not able to attend, you focus on that, your mind is wandering all over. No, not worry about that, he said. Krishna is saying that. Yeah. So, importance should be given to these qualities. These qualities will decide whether you are making path, progress in the spiritual path or not. So, other things you don't have to worry about it. And just like, because people think that when they do chanting, when the immediate result should be there. So that is how they measure the spiritual progress. People think that when I did the chanting 16 rounds, I was able to concentrate very much. So that means I made some progress. They, day-to-day basis, they measure themselves, evaluate themselves and start measuring like that. Krishna says that is not how it works. Krishna's point is that these qualities are the important ones. Yeah. So, the reason for that is, we have this misunderstanding that I have to get Krishna somehow by my effort. That misunderstanding has to go. Krishna is already, you got it. It is not something you have to get it from future somewhere. You already have got it. He is Antaryami inside. So there is no question of you putting effort and getting it. It's not by your effort that Krishna is going to have come to you. That, so this misunderstanding, that is why we say like this, that I worked very hard, I did a lot of, chanted a lot of rounds, and I did so much penances, all these things, with the understanding that one day I'm going to get Krishna because I've done all these things. And that misunderstanding, Krishna is saying that it's not the right way to be, right? Krishna is not something to be acquired or achieved. He is already there inside. What the problem is that the avidya inside us, the ahankaram and avidya, that is put a coverage on everything, and therefore all our divine qualities are suppressed inside because of this demoniac nature in us. What Krishna is going to list that, isn't it? Ahimsa, satyama, krodham, tyaga, shanti, abheshvanam, daya, bodeshu, aloluptam, mardavam, hri, ajavalam. Teja Kshama Dhridhya Shaujam Nadroha Adhimanida Deviga Sambhadam Devi Abhijadasya Bharata. So those qualities are not there, then that means there is avidya inside. There is a lot of avidya inside. Ajnanam, avidya. So, otherwise we are complete in ourselves. We have to understand the subtle side of Bhagavad Gita, because Krishna has spoken so many things, and when we read it, you may form some understanding from that, thinking that all this, oh, I have to work hard and get it one day, is going to happen. That's not how it is. Yeah? So, the vastu, what you are looking for, what you are inquiring, looking for, is already there inside. Antaryami is inside, right? What is required is, you have to remove that covering in front of him, which is this avidya inside, right? That Krishna has spoken before also. Nadate kasajil papam, najeva sukhram vibhu, ajnani inavratam jnanam, tena mukhyanti jantava. Earlier verse, in the 5th chapter, Krishna has said that. Nadate kasajil papam, najeva sukhram vibhu. Krishna is saying, Antaryami does not have any sinful things with him. He is pure. Nadate kasajil papam, najeva sukhram vibhu. You don't have to do anything to get him. He is already there. Ajnanenavratam jnanam. All that is required is remove the ajnanam, so that the jnanam, Krishna inside, will shine forth. Ajnanenavratam jnanam tena mukhyanti jantava. All living entities are under the mode of ignorance. The ignorance is there in everybody, right? So jnanam or knowledge is in everybody. Everybody has the knowledge. And jnanam is Atma's swarupam. Swarupam of Atma is knowledge, isn't it? Vadandita tattvavidam tattvam yet jnanam advayam. That jnanam, advaya jnanam, is we calling it as, which is Atma, is the Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanedi, Shabdede, whom we address it as in that way, right? So, Jnanam Atma Swarupam, Shanti is Atma Swarupam, as Krishna has mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, right? So, why do we, as I mentioned yesterday, why are we not experiencing that Shanti? Because the mind is working. Mind is the main problem, right? So, because we give importance to the activities of the mind, we are not able to feel the presence of Antaryami inside. And mind is the one which prevents us experiencing that Shanti, or experiencing that bliss, or the knowledge of the Antaryami inside. So, Vedantam finishes there. Vedantam says like that, that the it is not like the research in the science field, in the scientific field, right? So as I mentioned yesterday, that material science is like this, that if you get to know some new research done and some inventions happened, it's not going to make a big change in you, the real you. Nothing is going to change. All that's what is happening. It may be helping you your bodily existence here. But apart from that, as it that knowledge is not having any impact on the Antaryami inside. And self-realization means not a new knowledge coming from outside, we getting back our actual identity. That means this bodham, consciousness, awareness in us, that's what matters more than anything else. Yeah. So, in other words, what it's saying is that knowledge which is going to change, have an impact on the person who is looking for the knowledge. It has to change him. The knowledge has to impact on the person inside, right? And that's the only knowledge that will benefit us. In other words, any knowledge which is not having any impact on the self, Antaryami, here, whom we don't have any connection with that knowledge, then that knowledge is considered to be useless from the spiritual point of view. From the spiritual point of view, it's all useless. All kinds of knowledge is there in this world. This is the reason, you see, Brahma Vidya is different from all other Vidya. All other Vidya is only for get to know those Vidya, and you can use it for your purposes, whatever you want to do in this world. That's all. And when you die, all that Vidya goes away. Brahma Vidya is not like that. Brahma Vidya, that's why in the beginning the Acharya Swami says that Brahma Vidya Sarva Vidyam Pratishtam. All other Vidya are the secondary things. Brahma Vidya is the foundation. Because of Brahma Vidya only, you get to know who you are. And then you are getting back your spiritual identity. Your identity changes. Identity from the body goes. Identity from all other false things goes away. And we get our actually who we are. We get to know. That is Brahma Vidya, right? So I was saying yesterday that the Bhrigu and Varuna conversation, yeah. Bhrigu goes to Varuna and talks to him. And in so many chapters he has spoken that. So first he starts with that the Esha Bhargavi Varuni Vidya. It is in the Taittiriya Upanishad. You can look at that if you like. The second chapter it begins. And there he is saying that Annam Brahmedi Vijanath. First of all, Bhrigu realizes that Annam is Brahmam. And Annadvena Kalimani Bhudani Jayande. Imani Bhudani Jayande. Annena Jadani Jivandi. Annam Prayatyabhi Abhisamvishandi. So what happened is, Varuna sent him back, Bhrigu, sent him back to the forest, told him, go back to the forest and think further about it, do for more vicharam, more reflection you do. So he comes back and says to Bhrigu, Bhrigu comes back and says to Varuna, that annam brahmedi vijanad, he considers annam is brahmam. That is his first realization. And then when he went back, Varuna told Bhrigu, go back again, think about it further, do more vicharam, more reflect on this and then come back, he said. So then he comes back and he says, Prano Brahmedi Vajanat. Pranan is the Brahman. Brahman is Pranan, right? Pranadueva Kalimani Budani Jayande, Pranena Jadani Jivandi, Pranam Pratyabhisam Mishandihi Tadityaya. So he comes back and reports back to Varuna again that it is Pranan, that's the Atma, is the self is Pranan, not Annam. Self is Pranan, he says. Annam means body first. Annam means the gross body. So first thing is, he identifies the gross body and comes back. And then later on he comes back and says, the second time, when he went back, came back, he says to Varuna that actually it is Pranan, not the Annam, he says to her. Says to Varuna. And then he goes back, and then he says, Varuna says to Bhrigu, go back. It is not the answer. So this is how Varuna makes Bhrigu to inquire about the self. Of course, they had all higher level of knowledge of the Shastram, but self-realization hasn't happened to Bhrigu. So Bhrigu says to Varuna that this is my realization, coming back and talking about Pranan. Varuna says, no, go back to the forest and further do investigation, do more mananam, more nididhyasanam, and then come back. So then he comes back, Mano Brahmedi Vajanat, Manaso Eva, Kalimani, Imani Budani Jayande, Manasa Jadani Jivanti. He comes back and says, no, Pranan is not the one, actually it is the mind, he says. So, Manasa Jadani Jivanti, all living entities are on the, or mind actually, basically it is the mind, he says to him. So when Bhrigu said this to Varuna, Varuna said, no, go back, he said. Send him back to the forest again. And then he further conducts for more reflections, and then he comes up, Vijnanam Brahmedi Vijanad, Vijnanadvena Khali Imani Bhudani Jayade, Vijnanena Jadani Jivandi, Vijnanam Pratyabhivishandihi Tadvijnaya. So then he comes to Bhrigu. Bhrigu comes to Varuna and says to Varuna, no, it is not manas, mind, it is actually vijnanam. Knowledge is the thing, he said. So when he said like that, and he sends him back again to the forest. So Varuna was asking Bhrigu, you go back to forest, reflect it over again and again. Then he comes back and says, Anando Brahmedi Vajanat, Ananda Deva Kalimani Budani Jayande, Anandena Jadani Jivandi, Anandam Prayate Abhivishandihi, Tesham Saisham Bhargavi Varuni Vidya. So he comes back and says to him that Anandam is the nature of the Andaryami, or your identity. Anandam, bliss, Anandam. Sat Chitta Anandam, isn't it? So gradually Varuna brings Bhrigu to this realization. And he gave all the Bhrigu. Varuna is just like a guru for the Bhrigu. He is guiding him through the self-inquiry process. So this is how you find there in the Upanishad how that inquiry process began, right? So the thing is that once that perfection has come in spiritual life, then there are few things that changes in us. Basic things will change within us. First thing is that if that anandam or jnanam comes, then there will be shanti inside. Shanti, that's what Krishna is talking about, shanti in the Bhagavad Gita so much, isn't it? In so many places. Bhoktaram yajnatavasam sarvaloka maheshwaram sukhadam sarvabhudanam yatu amam shanti mruchadi, he says. So why has Krishna said like that? Shanti mruchadi, he says. Tataparam shanti mubaydi sakshal, Bhagavadam says. And then later on Ishara Paramakrishna, there also he says, Tataparam shanti mubaydi, tamayo sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharada tal prasadal param shantim, he says. So why is shanti so important? Because shanti is our actual state, is that. Actually we are supposed to be in the state of shanti. But when the mind is operating, shanti won't be there. Shanti won't be there. So once a shanti has come, then a few things in the Jnanamargam, they will say like this, Jihasa, Jityasa, Prayapsa, Chigirsha. These are the four things that happens to us. What that means is, after Shanti had come, then this inquiry will stop. Right now, in our life, what do? We keep on inquiring, where can I find the truth? Where can I find? Something is inside us working all the time, looking for some perfection somewhere. Because we feel that what we have got now is not complete. A feeling of incompleteness inside us. Due to that, you keep on inquiring. That's why we go to different institutions, buy different books, and we read different things. We ask different people. We listen to different programs. We go to various things. This inquiry is going on inside in a subtle level to find out what is life about, right? So Krishna is saying here that once you have reached that state of Shanti, that inquiry stops there. There will be no more further inquiry because fulfillment has come inside, right? So that is one thing. That further acquiring knowledge stops there. No more for acquiring knowledge. Secondly, he is saying here, all of us have this problem that we have a lot of things to do in this world, isn't it? Karma vasana inside. That karma vasana is such that I have to do so many things in my life. I have to organize a lot of things. I have to make sure everything is in its place before I leave this world. This kind of thoughts going on inside. People have this. Everybody has that. So that thing that I have a lot of things to finish in this world. People feel that very strongly, don't they? If I have not settled my family, what will happen? This is all in our head. It is working. And that kind of thing. And then the family life is one thing which never ends. Once it has started, it will never end. It will go on and on and on and on. It never comes to an end. And there will be also obligations to other family members, society, distant relatives, all these kind of things. We are caught up in all these things. And therefore, you never feel your work is never complete, in other words. One day, no time you feel that you have completed all your obligations. You never feel like that. Yeah. So this thing Krishna is saying, if this happens, Shanti comes, that will stop. Because you know that there is nothing to be done here. You don't have any obligations here to this world. You have just a jiva who came here and the jiva leaves this world. That's all it is. Right. So then you may think sometimes that there are certain things I have to give up in my life. I have to abandon myself. Or I have to give up certain things and which is causing me problem. And this way, a feeling all the time inside. So all these things does not happen anymore once the self-realization happens. So Krishna said all these things in there. That is the symptom of Shanti. But when there is no Shanti, there is problems inside and that's called the mind. Vaigalyam. Vaigalyam means that different disturbances inside us. It's a disturbance, this thing called mind. Yeah. So, and mind is defined as sangalpam, vigalpam. Right. So, what mind does is, it limits the soul. Andaryami's real nature, mind will not allow that to manifest. Right. Because Andaryami, or our identity, spiritual nature, is akhandam. Akhandam means unbroken consciousness, it is pure consciousness. But mind comes and limits everything. It puts us into the body, puts us into the intelligence, puts us into the ahangaram, and the mind itself acting independently. In this way, it limits, parichinnatvam comes in the consciousness, right? So, and the example for that is, to understand that is, Sushupti. When you go to Sushupti, there is no mind, and then what happens then? You don't identify with the body, you don't identify with the ego, you don't identify with the intelligence, you don't identify with the world, you don't identify with the family, you don't identify with the country, nothing. Everything goes away. So that state is proper state. That is our proper state, Sushupti state, what we experience there. If we can bring that state into vacant state, that means you are self-realized then, that you are in the proper platform, right? So, So that is what it is. Alpa Tattva Darshanam means, Tattva Darshanam means that me, mind creates all these things. Mind is creating me, you, he, she. In this way breaks up everything. That's what the mind does. Brings the world inside and breaks up everything. And we be victimized by the mind. And we are not conscious even about that. We accept that this is all perfect, what we are in this state, right? So that's what is called vikalpam. Vikalpam it is called, right? So one has to, when vikalpam comes, to get rid of that vikalpam is very difficult. All these processes we are talking about, through salsangam, through bhakti, through self-inquiry, atma-vicharam, or through japam, through dhyanam, ultimately, if none of them is working, crying to Krishna to help. That vikalpam is there, I can't do anything about it. I've tried everything what I can, it's not working. That's the last option. Bhakti, jnanam, and similarly japam, dhyanam, and salsangam, all these things, if with the help of all that, one should try. But if after all that, if you have tried and still it's not happening though, in such a situation, the last option is to take Krishna's complete surrender to Krishna and beg to him that, crying to him, saying that without your help I won't be able to reach the standard what you have spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. So, na chalayet. There is not much sadhana. Sadhana may help or not, may not help. So, even those who are doing sadhana, ultimately they are dependent on the mercy of Krishna. Andaryami. Krishna means Andaryami. So, sadhana you can do a lot, but success depends on Andaryami. Andaryami will decide whether you should have the result or not. Result is under control by the Andaryami. So when you don't have shanti inside, which is called ashanti, when there is no shanti inside, how to come to this platform of shanti, and different ways what you are trying to get that shanti, and that is called a spiritual life. Spiritual life is that. Adhyalpa means that, right? If shanti is there, you don't need anything else. Everything is full then. Yeah. So all these problems called dosham, or the problems that comes, what is causing this ashanti inside? Absence of shanti. And dosham means this fault or problems what we have, which is causing this ashanti, absence of shanti inside, and they have to be somehow or the other, we have to remove them from inside, right? And for different people, different sadhanas. In the Sanatana Dharmam, for different people, different sadhanas, right? So, Krishna spoke about one sadhana in the sixth chapter. What did he say? He said that shane shane ruparamed buddhya dhriti grihitaya atma samstam manakritva na kinchit api chindayet. That was Krishna's answer in the Dhyana Yogam chapter, sixth chapter. Shane shane ruparamed buddhya dhriti grihitaya atma samstam manakritva na kinchit api chintayet. Gradually, one should, by means of intelligence, sustained by full conviction, and thus somehow or the other, the mind should be fixed on the self alone and should not think of anything else. Ultimately, mind should go back to the source where it came from. That's what he's saying here. Atma samstam manakritva na kinchit api chintayet. After that, the mind should not come back again. Once for all, so Krishna is also saying the same thing, that the mind somehow should go back to the source where it came from. From Andaryami, the mind comes. సో మైండ్ షుడ్ గో బ్యాక్ టు అంతర్యామి. ఆత్మసంస్థం మనకృత్వ నించిత్ అది చింతయత్. ఆఫ్టర్ దట్ నో మోర్ ఫర్దర్ థింకింగ్, నో మోర్ ఫర్దర్ థింకింగ్ అబౌట్ ఇట్. సో ఇన్ ది భాగవతం ఇట్ విల్ సే తూష్ణీం బభూవ, ఇట్ మెన్షన్ ఇన్ ది కాబిలం, ఇట్స్ మెన్షన్ ది ఏకాదశం ఆల్సో, తూష్ణీం బభూవ. దట్ మీన్స్ యూ హావ్ గాట్ దేర్ అండ్ దెన్ యూ ఆర్ నాట్ కమింగ్ బ్యాక్ అగైన్. సో when we come to adhyatma jeevitam or spiritual life, there cannot be any compromise on all these things, right? Once you are doing the come to spiritual path and then you are following all these things what Krishna is saying, then you cannot go and do things which is against it. Like sometimes people do japam, dhyanam and things like that, and at the yogam everything, and then in the world, in the vyavaharam, they will do all sorts of nonsense which is against the what is spoken in the spiritual path. Japam, dhyanam, when we do all these things, our material life also should be adjusted accordingly to suit that. Yeah. So, on the one side you are chanting and dancing and and deity worship. On the other side, it's all lying, cheating, and fooling others. Then what? It will not have any effect at all, right? So this is what Krishna is saying here. Devi Sambhata. Devi Sambhata means Devi Sambhata is like a mirror. You look into the mirror and you can see what you look like through the Devi Sambhata. Devi Sambhata is a mirror through which you see yourself where you are in spiritual life, right? So. So, and when you know that dosham, the problems what you have got, you got to get out of them, get rid of them from inside. How? We don't know that because all the great Mahalmas, when they have written about their spiritual life, how they have made their progress in spiritual path, right? Their answer is, simply cry to Krishna. That is their solution to this. They will all say the same thing. That ultimately, sadhana is not working. Sadhana is not working. And the last step is this, to cry to Krishna. Right? And this crying is a very powerful thing in spiritual life. It's a very powerful thing, right? And particularly in the bhakti margam, bhakti process, right? In bhakti process, what you are doing is actually, you know your problems, what you have within yourself, your ahankaram, your, krodham, lobham, moham, all kinds of impurities inside us. Recognizing that you have got all these things, you are saying to Krishna that I have got all these things, I don't know what I can do with it. Because I have tried through the sadhana process, it hasn't worked. Unless you show some mercy, it's not going to happen to me, right? So, people will ask this question, when you cry, Krishna opens up from inside. But you have to cry for that. And that's the most difficult thing for the modern world, isn't it? They just don't know how to cry even. Because we have gone so far away from our natural state. We forget the point that every one of us came to this world crying. You know, nobody has to say this. Is it not? When we came out of the womb of the mother, what did we do first? We cried, simply cried. And the result was that the help us are already there. Krishna has set up everything in such a way. The mother comes, picks you up, or somebody takes care of you from then on. So the arrangement of mother, father, and the family and all these things are there when the baby comes. The baby doesn't know anything. It just came from the womb. Through the karmam, whatever vasana, it has all created that body and it came out like that. When it comes out, all the baby knows, baby has no idea about this world when the baby comes. We just popped out one day into this world. And then what did we do first thing? We cried. That's the first thing what we did. We cried, right? So, crying, we shouldn't think that it is a weakness. It's not a weakness. It's a misunderstanding. Men think particularly that if I cry, people will think that I am a very weak person. that therefore generally people will try to suppress their tears. It's a modern style, it's like that. You control your emotions, don't express your emotions, because you feel that if you tears comes from your eyes, it is considered to be a weakness, that the person is not so strong, right? So that is when you have to think these things, what Bhagavatam is saying. Bhagavad Gita is saying that the when we cried first time, whom did we ask for help? We didn't know anything. What did the baby know? Baby didn't know anything. Baby just cried. And the help came, right? And baby even doesn't know who father, who mother is. Even that baby doesn't know, right? But simply cried and the solution came straight away. A relief has come straight away, is it not? So that arrangement, Krishna has set it up like that in this world, right? So wherever the rule is like that, wherever there is genuine distress and the child and somebody is crying, relief will come at that point. Relief will come at that point, right? So exposing yourself to Krishna and saying to Krishna that these are all my problems inside and all my weaknesses and all my shortcomings and everything, expose that and mention that to Antaryami inside. Antaryami is there to listen to that. You have to speak to yourself, to Antaryami. You should not, it is not like me speaking to somebody else. It's Antaryami you are talking to, the one your actual spiritual identity. You have to tell the Antaryami, these are all my weaknesses, there's nothing I can do about it, right? So, and that, when you speak like that to Antaryami, that's called bhakti. That is bhakti. That is what is bhakti means. Bhakti means recognizing that there is a solution to the problem. And that is Antaryami is the one who can solve the problem and able to talk to Antaryami in this way, expressing our own weaknesses and referring to him and to tell Antaryami that you have to find a solution for me, and that is called bhakti. That's called bhakti. So it is like this that we remember we started with abhayam. Is it not bhayam? Bhayam means fear. Bhayam, you have to come out from that through the knowledge of Advaita Jnanam. That is why Kavi Maharshi said that in the Niminavayogi Samvadam first, right? Bhayam didiyal abhinivesha tasyal ishadabhedasya vibharyayo smriti tanmayaya. That verse. Bhayam didiyal abhinivesha tasyal ishadabhedasya vibharyayo smriti tanmayayato bhutam abhajetvam bhaktega yesham guru devadatma. So Kavi Maharshi, you see, that verse comes right after Kayena Vacha Manasendriyarva. Bhagavata Dharmam. He is talking about Bhagavata Dharmam. So Bhagavata Dharmam means all these things. What is Bhagavata Dharmam? Bhagavata Dharmam means these things. So Kavi begins with this. Kayena Vacha Manasendriyarva Mudyatmanava Prakrite Subhaval Karavadyadyal Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayani Samarpayami. First, surrendering everything to Krishna. That's the first stage. Whatever that is done by the body, mind, the senses, intelligence, everything, karodi adyat sakalam parasmai, everything offering to Krishna, narayana yadi samarpayami. That's the first stage. And then he said, bhayam didiyal abhinivesha tasyal ishad abhedasya vipareyo smriti tan maya ato budam abhajetam bhateya yesham guru devadalma. That is the second verse in the Kavi Maharshi's Bhagavata Dharma when he has spoken there, isn't it? So, the situation is like this. You are unable to do it. Basically the fact is that you are unable to do it, right? The buddhi, intelligence, is not strong enough. Strong in the sense, it is not, it doesn't have that potency to manage it, intelligence wise. I'm not talking about the intelligence of the material life. Spiritually, intelligence spiritually is a different thing. Spiritually you are not able to do this what Krishna is saying there, or Kavi is saying there. Bhayam didiyal abhinivesha tasyal ishad abhedasya vibharyayo smriti Tanmayayato Bhutam Abhajetan Bhakteka Yesham Guru Devadatma. That verse, if you study that verse, you will see that the Buddhi does not have the capacity to implement that. Buddhi is not able to manage it, right? And similarly, also, the other thing is that you are not able to even understand it, what Krishna has, Kavi has said there. These verses are very, spiritually very vibrant verses, right? So, the problem is that we are not able to, grasp it properly. Our intelligence is not able to function properly. And similarly, you are not able to do it yourself on your own. So, therefore, this problem, this particular verse, Kavi Maharshi's teachings, right? That is when summarized, Melpathur said in a nice way, he put it to them, he put it to Krishna, he says to Krishna this thing. Melpathur said to him that the the verses about that, Yadhartyal tunmaya sevahi mamana vibho vastu dobandamo kshau maya vidya tanubhyam tavatu virajido sutna bhoto bamauto baddhe jivadvi muktim gadavadija bidha tavadi tavadego bhunte dehadrumasto vishaya bhalarasan naparo nurvyathalpa. This is for how Melpathur summarized that Kavi's words in the Bhagavadam, and he spoke like this to Krishna. This Yadhartyal Tanmayasyal Yadhartyal Tanmayasyavihi Mamana Vibho Vastudo Bandham Mokshav. What is Yadhartyam? What is the reality? Bandham Moksham. They are not real. Isn't it? Krishna also said that. Bandham Moksham is not real. That is in the Prakriti it is. It is actually, I am not bound, but I feel that I am bound. Why? Because of bodily identification and due to Prakriti. Maya has put me in a situation that I am bound. I feel I am bound. Bound to this body, bound to the mind, things like that. So, yadhartyal tunmaya sehi mamana vibho, hi mamana vibho vastudo bandhamoksho. Maya vidyan tanubhyam tavadu virajido supna bhodobamauto. And this due to the presence of Maya only, that sapnam, bhodham, all these different states also we are experiencing. Baddhe jivadvi muktim gatavadi jabidha tavadi tavadego bhungte dehadrumasto vishaya bhalarasal naparo nurvyathalpa. That due to this attachment to this body, dehadrumastam vishaya bhalarasal, due to the attraction for sense enjoyment, we are not able to, that is our problem, because we are attracted to sense gratification. And everyone is having sense enjoyment all the time. And due to all that, there is no way of escaping from this situation. And because great devotees, they know these problems, so therefore they will say this. Yeah. In the when Uddhavadesham started, the same thing comes there also. Uddhava, when Krishna was talking to Uddhava, first began the instructions. Bidirnam adhudiyal bhavadi nanumanam kalpidan jadhudiyam tena kyabhyasa shilo kradayam ihayada shakti buddhva nirundhyam maya vidhedu taspin punaravinadatham bhadi maya adhinatham tatvam bhaktyam mahatyam sadadamani vajam ishabidim vijahyam. So straight away, Melpathur said to Krishna that this duality, what is in me? Duality. That is what he is saying here. That bhayam dvidiyal abhinivesha dasyal. That is what is called dvidiyam. Dvidiyam means something else existing here separately from me. Where did this feeling come? Now in our present condition state, so many things are existing. Actually, not many things are existing here. There is only one thing here, Atma. Instead of that, I have fallen into this state. Bidirnama dvidiyal. A second thing exists here. Anytime when there is a second thing, there will be fear. Fear will be there. One will be fearful of the other. That is the problem with this second thing. If a second thing exists in this world, you will be fearful of the second thing. That is what he is saying here. Bhayam dvidiyal abhinivesha tasyal. Bidir nama dvidiyal davadi nanumanam kalpidancha dvidiyam. And it is kalpidam, it is. It is not real. It is that you have something created yourself due to avidya inside. Kalpidam jadudiyam. Then, tenek abhyasa shilo. By abhyasam, by practicing only. Hridayam heda shakti buddhva nirundhyam. Merpatur says to Krishna, I'll try my best to change that from my side, but I don't think I will succeed, he said. This bhayam didiya labhiveshatasya. Tenek abhyasa shilo hridayam heda shakti buddhva nirundhyam. According to my capacity, I will try. Shakti buddhva nirundhyam. But maya vidhedu dasmin punaravinadadam bhadi maya di bhayam. Maya vidhedu dasmin punaravinadada bhadi maya dinadam. After all, it is caused by maya. And you are the controller of maya. Who else should I go to for help? This is, devotees will say like this to Krishna. They have all cried like this. They said to Krishna that this is caused, this dvidiyam, bhayam dvidiya labhiveshatasya was caused by maya. And I have tried my best, I can't do anything about it. It is not going away. Duality still exists. So he says to Krishna that, after all, this was caused by maya and you are in charge of maya. So if you help, I will get out. Otherwise, no chance, he said. Bhadi maya adinadam taltvam bhaktya mahatyam sadadam anubhajam ishabidim vijakhyam. If you help me, very easily I can come out of it from this maya. Maya caused this problem of duality in us, isn't it? And Antaryami's nature is, Antaryami on its own won't allow a second thing to exist. That's the beauty of Antaryami. Antaryami does not accept existence of another entity in this world. That is the very nature of Antaryami is like that. But because we have no relationship with the Antaryami now, what's happening? We are thinking all these things are existing, all the people are existing, all the living entities are existing, world is existing. All this is part of Maya only. As I mentioned yesterday, the rishis, because they believe in Maya so strongly, that they do not look at this world like the way we are looking at it. For us, the truth is what we see through our eyes, and you're trusting your eyes so much. But from Rishi's position, they are saying to us, this world is Maya, and this is not the truth. Definitely this is not the truth. They are very firm on that. So therefore, we find it difficult to deal with the Rishis. When the Rishi says something, we find it difficult to relate with it. This is the problem. Yeah. So, Bhidirnam Advidiyal, Bhavadidanumanam, Kalpidanjadvidiyam, Tenek Abhyasa Shilo Okhridayam Ihayada, Shakti Buddhva Nirundhyam. According to my capacity, I will try, Melpatur said to Krishna. According to my capacity, I will try. But I don't think I will make it, he said. He said to Krishna, on my own, it is not possible. Why? Because this is caused by Maya. And Maya, fighting Maya is not going to work. Fighting Maya is not going to work. Who can fight Maya? We don't even know what Maya is. Then it's a question of fighting, isn't it? So, Maya vidhetu tasmin, because it's coming from Maya, punaravinadada abhadi, but you are the one who are in charge of this Maya. Mayadhinatham, taltvam bhaktya mahatyam. So, I will surrender to you, I'll take your shelter. That's bhakti. Taltvam bhaktya mahatyam. Sadadam anubhajam ishabhidim vijahyam. In that way, I will escape from this fear. So, that's the answer for that. So, when we read that words, abhayam, you see, I mentioned before, abhayam, satasamshuddhi, jnana yoga vyavasthiti. These three are the ones which decides a devotee. Who is a devotee? Devotee means fearlessness completely. Why? Because he has taken complete shelter of Krishna. And that is his strength. Not like the way we have thinking that taking shelter means that under all circumstances, this feeling that Krishna is running the show. Krishna is managing everything. Yeah. So that is what it is. So the thing is, this thing can be done in two ways. One through Jnana Margam. But no, most of the people won't be able to do that. Through the Jnana Margam. It is not possible. That there are very few souls who come to this world, probably they have executed in previous lifetimes. Lot of spiritual engagements they have done. And due to that, they are, while in this life when they come to this world, they are ready for self-realization. Such people, they can go through the Jnana Margam. It will work for them, right? But the other one, Bhakti, is the one for everybody else. Bhakti Margam, right? So, it is for them, this path, which one? To cry. Keep crying, he said to Krishna. And keep telling him that this is your position, you are helpless about it, you can't do anything about it. And you also know that you are not going to make it on your own. So keep crying. That's the answer for that. Yeah. So jnanis don't cry like that. Of course, jnanis take shelter of Krishna. But jnanis have got this added advantage. Because from previous lives, that vasanas have followed them in this life. So very easily, they will, they can connect with the Shastram. They can understand this world properly. And all the knowledge what is spoken in the Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam will easily have its impact on them. Their Shraddha is always on self-realization. So therefore, they can make progress quickly, no doubt. But even they also, many jnanis, at the end, they take shelter. That's how it is. Shelter is more important. Ashrayam, isn't it? Ashrayam is the most important thing. So that is how... I mean, verses look simple, bhayam didiyal avinivashadasyal, but what you have to overcome, it's a big difficult thing, because it is maya it is, isn't it? That's what he's saying here. Tan maya yato buddham abhajetam. It is your maya that has created this situation. Kavimarshi is saying this. Bhayam didiyal avinivashadasyal ishad avedasya vibhajayospradi. Tan maya yato buddham abhajetam. It has come from maya. Bhattega yesham guru devadalma. He said, so the task is very heavy, which is overcoming Maya. And that means, as Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, Devi Kesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Durateya. Don't try very hard, it's not going to happen. Mam evayam prabhadyande, Maya medam tarandide. One who surrenders unto me, he will be able to get out of it. So again, and in surrender means what? Crying to Krishna. That surrender, that I cannot do it on my own, right? So devotee is not frightened. Jnani also not frightened, right? Because both of them are free from this ignorance, ajnanam. And jnani, because he knows only Antaryami exists, nothing else exists in this world, therefore he is free from ignorance. And devotee thinks only Krishna exists. This is another way of saying it, the same thing. Jnani will say only Antaryami exists. Atma exists. Consciousness exists. Devotee will say only Krishna exists. Nothing else, right? So that is that verse. Important verse, yeah? And the examples are there. Many, many, many examples in the history. All great devotees, if you go and look at them, you will see this is what ultimately happened to them. Both even the devotees of Shiva as well as the devotees of Vishnu. Appar was a famous Shiva devotee. And Appar, Swamiji, they tried to give him a lot of trouble. But he said, I have taken shelter of Panjasharam, Lord Shiva's holy name. I have taken shelter of that, I am not frightened, he said. So to say like that, it requires that strength inside. So Appar was saved in that way. Similarly, Jnanasambandar also said the same thing. Jnanasambandar said it in a different way. He said, people say to me that the planet called Saturn is not in the right place, Rahu is not in the right place, Kedu is not in the right place and things like that. He said, let them stay wherever they are, he said. I am not bothered, he said. Because... everything is good when Krishna is inside as Antaryami. Why should I fear about all these planets, he said. Like Bhikshu said. Yeah. So devotee's strength is Krishna in Antaryami inside. Krishna inside, right? So these divine qualities, what Krishna is talking about here, bringing them in person, it starts coming out from a person, that's called bhakti. That's called bhakti, right? This divine nature, divine qualities, right? When that comes down, this divine nature, when it comes down, what that means is that our ahankaram is operating more. And realizing the limitations of the ahankaram. Ahankaram has its own limitations. Ahankaram means your individual ego, that I can do this, I have done all these things, I should be able to manage it, I in everything. That feeling of I, that's ahankaram. So knowing that, knowing the limitations of this ahankaram, I, and crying to Krishna is called bhakti. It's called bhakti. That means you are accepting that, you on your own you can't do it. And you have to admit that to Krishna, that only when you admit that, Krishna will take some interest in that. Till you don't admit that, Krishna says, okay, you go on doing what you are doing. Because ahankaram is saying from inside, yeah. So, and knowing that, knowing your actual identity is this Antaryami, and realizing that power of Antaryami, and being peaceful about that is Jnanam. So, bhakti means surrendering to Antaryami, knowing the limitations of the ahankaram, and crying to Krishna, that's bhakti. And knowing that Antaryami is your real identity through path of knowledge, Jnana Margam, and completely under control, peaceful about that is Jnanam. Is Jnanam, right? So, knowing the features of ahankaram, it's useless. It doesn't help, right? But instead, if you get to know the Surupam, and if you have realized the Surupam, then the fear goes away. I mentioned before also, Surupam is more important, not the external features, right? In all the studies, you will notice that. First, what is Krishna? Krishna is this Sachidananda Brahmam. Sachidanandam is Krishna. That is Krishna's Surupam. So that is why Acharya Swamiji said like that in all the different prayers. If you look into Bhagavatam, when Krishna appeared in this world first study is Vasudeva study. And you look at Vasudeva study also, it's the same way. Isn't it? If you look at Vasudeva study first, Vijidosi, he says. What did he say? Vijidosi, Bhavan Sakshal. That I know who you are, he says. He didn't say, look, you are the 400 form, conchal, disc, club and lotus flower. No, you are that Sachidanandam. That is how the study begins. So even Vasudeva did the same thing. Devi Devi also did the same thing. When she prayed, when she did the glorifications, if you look, Ruvam Yatat Prahura Vyaktam Adhyam, that is how she begins. So then normally all the great personalities, when they recognize Krishna, they recognize first with Krishna's Swarupam. Swarupam is consciousness, bodham, inside, present everyone inside. Yuvam yatat prahu avyaktam adhyam. That's how Devaki's prayers begin, isn't it? Devaki's study. So, Krishna just appeared, and Vasudeva spoke, Vasudeva's study is there, and then Devaki's study is there. So, both of them spoke in this way. Yeah. So, then, you will also notice another thing that, this identification, if the identification is with the ego, means with the body, then there is not much chance of making progress, much progress, right? So one has to know one's own limitations because of this bodily identification, right? And Jnanis will say, once you realize Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahmam, then you have become free from that. Yeah. So in Shivananda Lahari, there is a prayer there. Prabhustvam Dinanam Khalu Paramabhandu Pashupate. Acharya Swami praying to Shiva. Pramukhyoham Tesham Abhikim Bandhutvam Anayoho. Toyeva Chandavyam Shiva Mada Avaradascha Chakasagala Prayatnat Kartavyam Madavanam Iyam Bandhu Sarani. In his prayers he says, Prabhustvam Dinanam, I am Dina, I am helpless. Acharya Swamiji is saying this. He says, I am helpless, he says. Why? Khalu Paramabandhu Pashupade. Pashupade is Shiva. So he says to him, that you are after all a friend of everybody, right? And there is a relationship between you and me. Shankaracharya says to Shiva, there is a relationship between you and me. What is that? Because you have the capacity to forgive me. If you think that on my own effort I will do everything perfectly and come to you, that is not going to happen. That's not going to happen. You have to accept me the way I am now. What I have got. Because this is what you have given to me. I don't have anything else to offer. What you have given to me is this body, this mind, this intelligence, and this senses. It is with this I am trying my best. But I know very well, Ajari Swami says to Shiva, that I will not be able to do it. I will not be able to do it. And even if it is fraught with a lot of difficulty, and even if I try very hard, it is not going to happen. So that is what is called a dinatvam. Dinatvam means feeling helpless. Feeling helpless. So before crying, you have to feel helpless. But we are not feeling helpless also. This is how we are now. We are not feeling helpless. We can't cry. All we know is to pop up the ahangaram inside. This is the problem in spiritual life. This is not going to change. Till all these things change, nothing is going to happen. You can keep beating the mridanga for whole life, but you'll be beating the mridanga, that's all. Nothing else will happen. So, the thing is this, that this situation, what Krishna has spoken, is that this divine nature, what Krishna said here, right, when it happens, these things will change, right. So, dina bhavam means dainya bhavam, isn't it? You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said the same thing, isn't it? You remember that verse? Yeah. No. Third or fourth verse he is saying there, isn't it? One of the verses in the Shishtashtakam says that. That dinatvam. Dinatvam means I am helpless. So, personalities like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shankaracharya, they are all saying this. So imagine our situation. If they have to say that, then what's our situation? So, what can you do? So, that situation, that is what he is saying here, that the mind will not allow you to do that. That's the weakness of the mind. Mind will come back and put the spanner there. Mind will say, oh, why do you have to surrender like that? You are working very hard, you are doing a lot of sadhana, and the result must come. That's how the mind will dictate from inside. And mind will take you to all kinds of situations in that way. So mind is a causes that what we call as vaigalyam. Vaigalyam means vikalata inside. That disturbance inside, right? And these disturbance comes in different forms. Lust, anger, greed, hate, envy, pride. These are all those disturbances coming from the mind, right? So, when it becomes selfish, that's another thing to it. Yeah. When these things come, these different emotions come, it turns into different types of emotions. I'm talking about the mind. In the mind, when these disturbances come, that turns into different kinds of emotions. Krodham, for example. And krodham comes when we become very selfish in life. When we become very selfish, that's when krodham comes. Yeah. And then there won't be... you remember, Krishna picked up three things and told us in the end of Bhagavad Gita. Trividam naraga seidam, dwaram nashanam atmana, kamam krodham tatha lobam, tasmad eval trayam tyajet, he said. In other words, when these three things are inside us, which are the kamam, krodham, lobham, that things, he says, is the gateway to the hell. Isn't it? Trividam naragaseidam. Dwaram. Dwaram means the gateway. Dwaram nashanam altmana. And that means you are finished. Destroyed yourself. Trividam naragasveidam. Dwaram nashanam altmana. Kamam krotham tatha lobham. Tasmad evam trayam tejed. Krishna will use this word tasmad very often. When he uses word tasmad, you have to be very careful. Because he is going to say something very important. In Bhagavad Gita, many times you will see this word tasmad, tasmad. Tasmad uttishta kaundeya yuddhaya kratanischaya. Similarly, like that. So whenever he says tasmad, you can take it that he is going to talk to you very direct, very straight, without any mixing words. He says, kamam krodham tatha lobham. Tasma deva time trajed. It should not. We have to become free from these three things: kamam, krodham, and lobham. Yeah. So he has put it like that, and just like we read, say, if you example, you read the newspapers, and then you get affected by the newspaper. A lot of things are going on in this world. Politicians. You agree with one politician. Or you join one party and you say the other party is the problem. Sometimes people say Green Party, they say Labour is the problem or Tories are the problem. And in this way, they create, we feel angry with them. But what can we do about it? We can't do anything about it. Yeah. So, this is the same impact what all the media does to us in the same way. Creates these three things in us. Kamam, krotham, lobham. All these things, right? I mentioned yesterday, one person went to see a movie, right? And then he has identified very closely with the hero in the movie. And somehow it so happened that the villain gave him a good punch. And so this man got so angry, he punches someone who was right in front of him to finish his anger. So you see how identification happens inside us. We identify with things like that, with the movie, right? You know, a lot of people in this world, how they identify with the cinema stars. And these cinema stars, they are also like us, ordinary people. But because these people are so foolish, they identify with them and they think that these foolish, the film stars are so perfect. That they are the only one qualified to be. And they take advantage of that. Film stars take advantage of that. Someone who comes with reasoning and logic, they won't listen. But they will carry it away simply by these emotions of the film stars' activity. And this is, you can see in the politics how strong it is, right? So, so that's the thing. So Krishna is saying here that, krodham. So how do we come out of that? To become free from that is his tyagaha. Tyageneva amrutatvamanisho. So you see, in order to become free from these things, how do you do that? So actually the proper method, like spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, everything begins with karma. Karma has to become pure. Karma has to become karma yoga. That is the beginning of everything. Why we don't get any chitta shuddhi is because that we have not practiced even karma yoga properly. That is the reason. Bhakti means chitta shuddhi. Chitta shuddhi, only when chitta shuddhi is there, bhakti will come. So if bhakti has to happen, karma has to be perfect first. But we have not even practiced karma yoga properly. So therefore, we are in a half-baked condition, here, neither here nor there. And we have come to bhakti margam, and we are thinking that through bhakti I will overcome everything. But impurities won't be removed till the karma side is perfect. Yeah. So that is why it is called a tyagam. Tyagam, karma yoga, karmam, when it becomes tyagam, when you join with karmam, it becomes karma yoga. Is it not? Karmam, when you mix tyagam with that, selfless way of doing karmam is karma yoga. Selflessly, when you do that, right? So, so that is what he is saying here. When you are continuously giving up everything, nothing is mine, in that way. So, not bahya tyagam, external tyagam, and but even if you give externally given tyagam, even then there will be a certain amount of pride in that. I have given all these things, I have done these things. There will be, in a very subtle level, that feeling will be there, right? And even great Mahalpas had this problem. What to talk about ordinary people? Mahalpas also had this problem. Mentioned about Patanasar yesterday. He is the best example for that. Yeah. So, wealthy person, but ultimately, he gave up everything. He realized that this wealth was causing the whole problem. So he decided to walk away from that once for all. Completely threw away everything and walked out, right? He used to, and because of that vairagyam inside, how that vairagyam happened, you have to understand his family life, how it happened was. They had a lot of wealth, but they had no children. They had a lot of wealth, but they had no children. So what happened was that Lord Shiva appeared and told him, there is a very poor Brahmana there and he has got a child. You can adopt him and bring him up. Because the Brahmana was so poor that this child he had, they couldn't bring him up. They were finding it difficult to manage. So you go and adopt that child and bring him up. Actually, Subramanya Swami has come in that form of that child. So they adopted that child and brought him up. And then brought him up with so much affection and so much love and with so much wealth. And you have to read the history behind Patanathara and this child, how that relationship was. Child, even though coming from a very poor Brahmana family, highly intelligent and highly renounced and detached from the world, and he knew the world is what it is worth. He was very conscious of that. So he talks to Patanathar about it, but Patanathar is not able to listen to anything what he was saying. Patanathar always believed that his wealth is everything. He had so much wealth and he was so proud of it, and he wanted a successor to manage all his wealth after his death, just like all the other big people in this world, isn't it? The wealth should remain so many generations. It should continue. The wealth should stay with the family. That's how they think about it. So Patanathar also was thinking in the same way, and he was trying to groom him in the proper way, like a businessman. And that poor child, he has no interest in business, he has no interest in money either. All he was interested in spiritual life and self, naturally it is, his nature is like the Brahmanyam, isn't it? The Brahmanyam nature in him, Subramanyam. So Patanathar sent him to foreign countries to do business with other business people. And a lot of goods, in them days that was how it was done. You go in the ship, with the ship you go travel to other countries, you know, far east places, and you sell your products and then collect money from there. So ultimately what happened? The many ships got sunk in that. It used to happen like that. They were not modern boats, you see. The old type of boats were the rowing. They were crossing the seas with that. And there were no, you know, engine-driven, all the old type of ships, big ones, but all hand-woven and with the help of the mast. They were traveling to other countries, right? So quite often accidents used to happen and the ships used to get sunk. All the wealth will be gone. The people also will die. Business people will take that risk to do that. They were doing that. So our son, Patanathar's son, Subramanya Swami, didn't have that problem. His boat survived in the journey. He survived, right? So when they all go together and then they come back together after the business done in different places, right? So while coming back, most of the boats got sunk. But Subramanya Swami's boat survived. And then Patanathar was very happy that his son has survived. And he's going to bring back a lot of wealth in that hope. And he was changing his mood all the time. When son was bringing a lot of wealth, Patanathar is very happy. But when he finds that son is not interested in the business, not interested in the money, Patanathar felt very depressed about it. So all the time his mood was changing in this way. So, other business people who have traveled with him, some of them told him, he is not good for business, he said. He is not good for business. He has no business talent talent for business, right? And I don't know what he has brought back. So what he has done, he has got some jewels and put them inside the cow dung and brought it back and gave it all to him. So when he saw the cow dung, Patanthar couldn't bear it. He got so angry with him and abused him. And then he opened the cow dung and looked at it, there was a jewel. Immediately became very happy that so much money he has made. So this is how his mind was working, Patanthar's mind. Meanwhile, what he did, Subramaniam wrote a note and left it on the in the palmyra leaf and gave it to the mother, saying that I am going, because these things, what I am doing, it's all useless, he said. At the end of my life, this is not going to help me, he said. So Patanthar asked his wife, what happened to our son? He says, he has gone, he has left a note with me, and she showed the note to him, and he looked at the note, what he has written there, that even a needle, broken needle, you cannot take it with you when you go. Why are you so attached to all these things? That hit him very hard. When the son told him, I am going, he said, and he left. So then suddenly, see Antaryami how it works, from inside, gave this idea to him that it is not, it's pointless to run after wealth. And that is how he threw away everything what he had and took the position of a beggar. So you can understand from that nature in us, how renunciation can come to a person instantaneously, right? And once he was walking and he felt very tired, and he was lying down on a you know, between the paddy fields, there is a partition there, isn't it? He was lying there, he was very tired, and he kept his hand like this, and he was sleeping like this. When you don't have a pillow, you use your hand, isn't it, to be the pillow. Two women were walking that way. They were going to fetch water from a well. So when they saw that, they saw Patanthar lying there. So one lady said to the other lady that, look at him, how renounced he is, how detached he is. He said, they are talking to each other about him. He doesn't even have a pillow. He is using his hand to use as a pillow. He said. The other lady says, that is not much denunciation. That means he is still like his pillow, isn't it? That's what her answer was. The other said, Patanthar heard that, this conversation between the ladies. After that, he even gave up using the hand as a pillow. To that extent, Vairagyam had come to him, right? So the thing is that when people talk about us in the wide world, we all like that people should talk good things about us, not anything bad about us, right? But if you think that should happen, that may not happen. People will talk bad things about you, right? So, where is the tyagam then, sacrifice? Tyagam is giving up your ego, ahankaram inside. Who gets hurt? Ahankaram gets hurt when somebody talks ill about you. Your ahankaram gets hurt, right? So, Krishna is saying here, you remember, ahimsa satyama krodham, tyagam. See that word, tyagam. That tyagam, he is referring to this, that situated in dharmam is tyagam, right? Whatever we may have to do in life, according to our prarabdham, wherever Krishna has put us in, we may have to do that. But at the same time, in such a way that you don't break the rules of dharmam in such a way, right? That is called tyagam. So, in everything, this is why dharmam is important. Whatever dharmam one has to perform, within that, bring this Devi Sambhata into that. Bring the Devi Sambhata into one's own dharmam, right? If you are able to do that, that is a sadhana, what Krishna is saying here. And able to hold on to truth, and if there is any difficulty due to that, then Devi Sambhata, that divine nature, what Krishna is saying here, gradually, it will reduce your vyavaharam in this world. Too much vyavaharam is not favorable for spiritual life. right? So you may not be able to give up all the vyavaharam in one stretch, but Krishna is saying here that dharmam is able to manage your vyavaharam in such a way that able to bring this divine nature into this dharmam, into the dharmam. And that way you will become free from the problems of the vyavaharam. If you do the vyavaharam with the dharmam, the problems of vyavaharam will not create so much trouble or destroy your devi sambhata. So all these things, what Krishna said there, you remember the second verse. Ahimsa, Satyam, Akrodham, Tyagam, Shandi, Apaishunam, Daya, Bhudeshu, Aluluptam, Mardavam, Hri, Achabalam. They are all of them are dharmam. They are actually dharmam, right? So when you are in that state, whatever troubles comes from that, Krishna is saying, tolerate it. And that's dharmam. But don't break the boundary of dharmam, right? So, it means that it will be a struggle in life, basically. It won't be very easy, right? So, that struggle in maintaining dharmam in your vyavaharam, Krishna says, it is a tapasya. That's a tapasya, right? Then, he's going to talk about few things now here. We talked about dhanam yesterday. Dhanam, when does it become proper dhanam? It becomes dhanam that when it starts, when you feel the pain for yourself, up to that you should do the dhanam. That's what they say. You should feel the pain. Pain means that you are losing so many things away from you. To that extent, do dhanam, he says. Dhanam is not that suppose you have a few million pounds, you give 100,000 pounds or something. That is a kind of dhanam, but proper dhanam is when it starts hurting you in your life, right? So that is where dhanam becomes very effective, right? Similarly, when you start practicing dharmam also, there will be a lot of problems. And in our normal life now, we are not going to do in our sadhana any tapas, like the way Hiranyakashipu did. What Ravana did. We are ordinary people. We will live at home. We will have our regular meals on time. We want a place to sleep. Our actual life is not going to change very much. So, when we are trying to cultivate these things, what Krishna has spoken, right? What we like is selfishness, not sacrifice. Selfishness is our first priority. Always, everybody looks after themselves, is it not? So, people look after themselves first. And then after that, they may be willing to do something else. And giving up to someone for or sacrificing something is tyagam. But selfishness is priority. Tyagam comes second. Right? When you do tyagam, shandi comes. Right? And when you look after yourself, selfishness, what happens? It comes, when it is done, pleasure comes. Sukham comes from that, right? So these two things both comes. From selfishness, you get pleasure. From tyagam, you get shandi. You get shandi. So that is what Vedam also says. Shreyas and prayas. Is it not? You remember that, yeah? Shreyas and prayas. What they mean by that, yeah? So when you do bhogam, that means looking after your own sense gratification, you will get happiness in life. Happiness. Sukham will come. But if you do tyagam, sacrifice, shanti will come from that. That's the principle behind it. Tyagam means shanti. And whereas bhogam means sukham. Bhogam will bring sukham. These are very subtle things, but you can understand that. That's the way it works in this world, right? So, bhogam is the path what we have traversed throughout life. Bhogam. That's all what we know. Tyagam we are not used to, isn't it? So, tyagam is not given that much, tyagam means sacrifice, is not given that priority over bhogam. Bhogam is always the priority, right? So, In that case, Shanti will go. So Krishna's point is that here, what he is saying, Ahimsa Satyama Krodham Tyagam. Choose the path of Tyagam rather than Bhogam. And through the path of Tyagam, you will get closer to Shanti. You see, the next word is Shanti. Tyagam leads to Shanti. Yeah? Ahimsa Satyam Akrodham Tyagam Shanti. Tyagam leads to Shanti. Bhogam won't lead to Shanti. That's the principle. Bhogam won't lead to Shanti. Tyagam will lead to Shanti. Yeah. He said that. Yeah. So after effect of dharmam or tyagam is Shanti. Right. And Krishna said that also before, isn't it? In the 12th chapter. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal. Jnanal dhyanam vishishyade. Dhyanal karma bhalatyagam. Tyagal Shanti Anandaram. So Tyagam, Krishna has stressed that point there. Tyagam leads to Shanti, he said. Tyagal Shanti Anandaram. Tyagam will lead to Shanti, Bhogam won't lead to Shanti. This is the principle. We have people who are serious about spiritual life, this is the path they follow. That they sacrifice things, everything in life. Bhogam won't lead to Shanti. Bhogam will lead to Sukham. You can enjoy life, but it won't lead to Shanti. But Tyagam leads to Shanti. That's what Krishna Bhagavad Gita said that, isn't it? Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal dhyanam vishishyade, dhyanal karma phalat tyagam, tyagal Shanti anandaram. So karma phalat tyagam leads into Shanti. In the 12th chapter, Krishna said that. So again here, Krishna is saying, Tyagam will lead to Shanti, nothing else. So when you read all these things, you start realizing, spiritual life is quite complicated, isn't it? It's not so simple as we thought it is. Just chant, dance and go back to spiritual world. There are people there to receive us there. If it was like that, why all these things were spoken in this way? Why did Krishna say all these things? So that is why Krishna is saying, Manushyanam Sahasreshu. Among millions, hardly one knows the truth, and very few people endeavor for that. Out of that, one who succeeds in that is rarely one. Because it is like this. Who is willing to prepare to do this tyagam and to get Shanti in that way? So, that's the important thing. Yeah. So, Rishi says to us, now, when you read these things, you get an idea how the rishis are thinking about life. They are not thinking like the way we are thinking about life. What do we think about life? You have to work hard, earn a lot of money, live comfortably, and then if there is something extra we can spend on spiritual life or go on a pilgrimage or do a little bit of spiritual life, whatever time permits. But first you look after ourselves. It is after that all other things comes. But if you look at Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that unless there is Tyagam, Shanti won't come. So first Tyagam is required. Tyagam, and that is what I am saying, that Tyagam begins with Karmam. And Karmam has to become Karma Yogam first. Without that all these things are not going to happen. So that's where it is. Tyageneiva amrutattva manushyo, right? And Vivekananda also said that this is the message to the world from Bharata Bhumi. This is the message that Tyagam is the one what all the great spiritual personalities have shown to this world through that, how to become happy in that way. And if due to that, tapasya Tyagam, if you do that tapasya Tyagam, that becomes a tapasya. That becomes a tapasya. In that case, that will generate Shanti. That will generate Shanti. So, if there is sufficient tapasya inside, it comes out in a form, and that is Shanti. The smell of that tapasya inside. And if the Shanti comes in a person, what that means is, that person has got Devi Sambhata. That's the way to see it. If a person is in a shanti state all the time, what that means is he has got Devi Sambhata inside. Because Devi Sambhata comes from shanti. Devi Sambhata comes from shanti, right? If shanti is not there, then you have to understand that there is some problem inside. Some problem inside. In the society, that is the problem, right? You can see there that in society, people have got intelligence, people have got a lot of wealth, and in spite of all that, shanti is not there, is it not? You see that all the time, is it not? Especially in the so-called first world. First world is full of wealth, full of intelligence, but zero shanti. Zero shanti. Suddenly one man comes with a gun and goes to school and shoots 20 children. Gone. And then the 4 or 5 police cars comes from all over. The army comes. How many times our American president is getting shot now? Again it has happened now. So one after the other, this is going on. This is supposed to be the first world. If this is the world you want to live in, that when you get continuously shot all the time, if somebody is after you with a gun, and you call it as the first world. So this is the understanding, isn't it? So shanti means that wealth is there, and intelligence is there, and material development is there, shanti is not there. This is the situation, right? And so Krishna is saying is that to measure a person's spiritual life has to be based on this divine nature, only on the divine nature. Not based on how many followers he has got, how many people he has made devotees, how many temples he has built, or all other things like in the material life, what you feel, you get honored by all those things, isn't it? So, he says, even if you have done all such things, if the, because you want to be recognized in the world, that you have done something for the world, and therefore you do all these things, right? So, but Krishna says that is not going to solve the problem. Unless this shanti comes inside, and even if the whole world worships you, he says, what is the benefit? What is the benefit? So, that is why this Guru Ashtakam, in the which we have, Ajari Swamiji mentions that, he says, Shariram Swarupam Tathava Kalatram Yashascharu Chitram Dhanam Meru Tulyam Manaschena Lagnam Gurorangri Padme Tatakyam 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 Tatakyam. What's the use? What's the use? What's the use? He's saying. You may have everything in this world. What's the use? Shariram Swarupam Tatha Va Kalatram Yashascharu Chitram Dhanam Meru Tulyam. Like the Meru Mountain, you have got so much wealth here, and you are very famous in this world. You have a beautiful wife, and you are very healthy. But if your mind is not attracted to Krishna, manascheru lagnam guru rangri vatne, to the spiritual master, then tatakim 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 tatakim. That's the famous Guru Ashtakam. Ajari Swami's Guru Ashtakam is this, and there's 8 verses on that. So the thing is that this Devi Sambhata, that shanti is not there, then what's the use of having all other things in this world? He said that, yeah. So that is what that second line is saying here. That Ahimsa, we saw that Satyam, Akrodham, Tyagam, and then shanti. Tyagam and shanti. Then the next one is more interesting one. Apaishunam. What does Apaishunam means? You know what Paishunam means? Paishunam means gossiping. Gossiping, right? Apaishunam, Krishna says, it is Devi Sambhata. It's a divine nature. What is that? Always thinking about the problems of other people, the defects in others. Seeing that all the time. Looking at others' faults. Right? So, you will always find faults in others. There will be always faults in others, right? And when you have little intelligence, naturally you will find faults in others. You will faults in others, right? So, But if you find faults in others, but if you keep digging it further and further, that's not a good thing. You have seen the faults in others. That's faults in others. Everybody accepts that. Everyone has faults, isn't it? But if you see the faults, but if you keep on digging that again and again, that's called paishunam. Paishunam means that. Yeah? They call it as garbage collection or waste collection in the same way. Right? So that is what is called paishunam. Right? Imagine we have our own dirt inside. And then we are going and digging others' dirt also. So it adds on to our own dirt inside, right? So that is sometimes, yeah. This is an interesting one, this paishanam. I'll explain that, you will find it interesting, right? So, say you made some remark about somebody, something, right? And others who are listening to it, they will tell you that, oh, you should not put everyone into the same category. Everybody is not bad. Maybe one person or two persons may have some problems, but not everybody, right? And when you start looking at it, you will find problems everywhere with everyone, right? And sometimes we are not even conscious that we are finding fault with others. Right? We just say that, I find this very strange that the way he is doing things like that. Right? So we may not be even conscious of that. And what happens to us is, our mind will go into that. Yeah, and it will go and stay in that false what we have noticed in others. Right? So Krishna says to Uddhava about this. Yeah, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, right, you should not speak good things in others, nor you should speak bad things about others. That's the way to deal with this world. You don't have to glorify anyone, and you don't have to criticize anyone. That is Krishna's advice to Uddhava. Parasvabhava karmani. Parasvabhava karmani na prashamseya na garhaye. Vishwam ekalpagam pashyan prakritya purushena cha parasvabhava karmani ya prashamsati ya nindati sa ashu brashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. This instruction from Krishna is very important, very very important, because in this world while living we will look at others and we will see faults in them, and that's natural because our intelligence says somebody is doing some nonsense. Actually, it will come to us, you will see that person, there's something seriously wrong with him. And he is not doing the right thing. In our opinion, he is not doing the right thing. Krishna is saying, don't give importance to it. Paras svabhava karmani, his svabhavam and karmam, na prashamsadi, na nindadi. This is a mandatory requirement in spiritual life. And that is what is called paishunam. Paishunam is referring to that. So those, again he repeated the same thing again, isn't it? Parasubhava karmani ya prashamsati ya nindati. One who is doing that, sa ashubhrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshata. Because he does not understand this world. That is Krishna's point of view. Because he doesn't understand the world, he keep on looking at others and start analyzing and evaluating them. And that should be stopped for a person who wants to advance in spiritual path. That's the requirement. So, this abhaishunam is what Krishna has spoken in Ekadasham to Uddhava in those two verses. In those two verses, yeah. So, paishunam, this word, Krishna says abhaishunam, he says. Paishunam means that this vasana inside us, when we see someone and able to start seeing faults in them, their shortcomings or what their faults are, noticing that and talking about it. That's called paishunam. Paishunam, right? And this problem is particularly there in the family life. Suppose you have a family and then you have an extended family. And when they all get together, this is what happens there. Paishanam. Paishanam will be there. Every family you take it in this world. Suppose you have your own family. Within the family itself there will be Paishanam to some extent. But added to that, if your relations also come, all together, any occasion, what happens, it will be Paishanam. Paishanam will happen. One will say about somebody else within the family. It's mostly within the family only. Oh, he has not done this. He has behaved like this to me. And he did this to me. He did that to me in this way. And if you ask that person, why have you said like that? He says, I can't do anything about it because this is what he has done to me. And they are all family members together. But they each other, it is like this. This is the beauty of that. Family members, they all feel that they are one family member. But mutually, this Paishanam will go on. All the time it will happen. Yeah. So for that reason only, Sri Narada Maharshi says, when you are in family life, he says, whoever says whatever they say, keep shaking the head, he said. Don't say anything, but just shake the head. It is in the seventh canto. He is saying this. He says, in family life, if you are with all other family members, there will be always criticism from somebody that you have not done this. They'll expect you to do some things what they want you to do and you didn't want to do it. Things like that. Disagreements will always be there within the family life. So he is saying here that suppose you say to them that what you have said is not right, then they will start talking about you that you didn't agree with him. In this way, right? So therefore, Sri Narada Maharshi says, whoever says whatever they say, you always say yes, yes, yes. Everything is right. And that is Narada Maharshi's method. Krishna is saying here, Abhaishunam, the very talk of gossip like that itself is bad. Neither find that parasubhava karmani na prashamse na garhet. So both Krishna and Narada Maharshi are given talking about it, right? So, what it is that when you are talking about others within the family, like, yeah, in the person who is speaking, in his mind, that person whom he is going to talk about will come inside him, will come inside him. And you have probably some dvesham, hate towards that person. And that, because in yourself, you are feeling that you are perfect. And therefore, you are finding the fault in the somebody else, right? And so when you make that opinion, there is a kind of psychic energy that comes from inside, right? And that is a very disturbing thing for him, a person who is speaking, right? And suppose you don't find any fault with anybody. Now, this is the other side to it, right? Suppose you don't find any fault with anyone, and you start thinking everyone is very good in this world, yeah? That also won't work. That also won't work. So suppose you start thinking that, from now on I won't look at anyone's fault. If you start thinking like that, that also won't work, right? Because if you have some intelligence, you will definitely find fault in somebody. That's the way it is. Because people are very crazy in this world, isn't it? A lot of people are doing different things according to their understanding of life. What can you do about it? And when from your point of view, you are looking at that person, and you are seeing that this person, there's something wrong with him seriously. Sometimes you will spit it out, sometimes you keep to yourself. Krishna is saying, either way, it is damaging. Don't say it is good, don't say it's bad either. Stay out. And whatever they say, just shake the head. Everything is fine. That's the only way he says. So, so when you see somebody acting very selfishly, obviously you will notice that, is it not? When someone is acting very selfishly, right? And similarly, somebody is cheating you, you will notice that, right? And because Krishna has given us some intelligence also, to sense that the person is trying to cheat me, or he is trying to act selfishly, right? So when situations like that happen, as much as possible, that don't have much vyavaharam with that person. That's the only way you have to withdraw. So these qualifications, what Krishna spoke about, that two verses, parasubhava karmani, beginning with that, it is for the jnana margam. In the jnana margam particularly, it holds, right? That is why jnanis doesn't want to mix with people. They want to stay aloof from everybody. For this reason, because they see these are all problems for them, for their own spiritual benefit, right? So when this happens, then chittavritti builds up inside. Chittavritti comes. So chittavritti nirodham becomes very difficult. Chittavritti means the mind starts working, right? So suppose you start thinking, I'll only see good things in this world, so therefore I can go anywhere now, mix with anybody, because everybody is good in this world. If you start thinking like that and go somewhere, you won't be able to mix with anyone, because when the defect is there, the problem is there. And similarly, somebody is doing adharmam, and it is not possible to change that in them. Therefore, you see what the newspaper does, the media and all that, televisions, all of them do this paishunam. Paishunam is what they do. Yeah? Newspapers, Facebook, YouTube, Google, all these great, great things what we have developed is nothing but paishunam it is. Paishunam. So, media is generally what is called paishunam. What else are they doing in this world? Look at them, what they do in this world. Gives a lot of jobs to a lot of people, isn't it? YouTube and all these things. Some of the funny things what goes on in this world, you never realize that the world is like this before they came in. When you read the newspaper, it wasn't that bad. It was, you only get the newspaper in the morning, you look at it and you throw it away. But this is now engaging the whole world 24 hours. This thing called paishunam. So rather calling media, it's better to call paishunam. Paishunam is the right word for that. Yeah. So, and they have nothing good to say. Terrorism, bombing, shooting, killing, war. This is all they're continuously reporting. And that's paishunam, right? So Krishna says here that if you have that, shanti won't be there. Shanti won't be there. So that is why he says, Tyagam, Shanti, Apaishunam. Apaishunam, freedom from Paishunam. So you remember, for a devotee, what did Krishna say? Sarva Bhudeshu Yap Pashyet Bhagavad Bhavam Alpana. That is what Krishna is expecting. Sarva Bhudeshu Yap Pashyet Bhagavad Bhavam Alpana. Right? And if you are able to see that Andaryami in everyone, then it is a big thing. Then it is perfect. But till you have that vision, Bhudani Bhagavatyalma Esha Bhagavadottama. He is the Bhagavadottama, one who is able to see the presence of Andaryami in everyone. Till you get there, Krishna says, that is only possible when all these things are first met with. All these qualifications, Ahimsa, Satyam, Akrodham, Tyagam, Shanti, Apaishanam. All these are required before that. It is crossing over all these things, then you get to that stage. Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashet Bhagavad Bhavam Alpana Bhudani Bhagavatyalma Esha Bhagavadottama. Right? So, the problem is, if your Shraddha is in the Upadhi, remember this verse, yeah? If your Shraddha is in the Upadhi, Upadhi means what? Body, mind, senses and things like that. You will always find a dosham there, problem there. As long as our Shraddha is in the Upadhi of another person, naturally you will find a dosham. Dosham means problem there or defects there. So till you become free from seeing in a person, instead of seeing his Upadhi, if you start seeing the Andaryami inside, this problem will be there. That's why it is important. You see, Because normally when we are interacting each other, what do we interact with? Through the Upadhi, isn't it? Upadhi is what we are dealing with. I am dealing with your body or mind or senses or whatever it is, right? So, in the Upadhi level, this problem will be there. So, that is why Krishna is saying, Sarvabhudeshu yapashyet bhagavad bhavam alpana. If bhagavad bhavam comes, that means you have become free from Upadhi. You are not seeing Upadhi anymore. In that situation, these problems won't be there. Paishanam won't be there. So, that is the important thing, right? So, that needs a little bit more discussion. We'll do it after the break. Chedo darpanam arjanam vaumaha davagni nirvavanam shreya kairava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadho jivanam anandambudhi vardhanam pradipada purnamrudasvadanam sarvatna subanam varam vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam nam namagari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nimida smaranena kala तादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममापि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहाजनिनानुरागाः तृणारभीषुनी चेन तरोरभी सहिष्णुना अमानिना मानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरि न धनं न जनं न सुन्दरीं कविदां वा जगदीश कामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरि भवदाल् भक्तिरहै दुहि त्वयि अयि नन्दतनुज किङ्करां पतिदां मां शमे भवाम्बुधौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितधूली सदृशं विचिन्तय नयनं गलदश्रुधारय वदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलगैर्निजितं गदा बभू तव नाम ग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायुधं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायुधं शून्यायुधं जगल् सर्वं गोविन्द विरहेण मे अश्लिष्य वा पादरदां विनष्टु माम् अदर्शनां मर्महदां करोतु वा यथा तदा वा विदधादुलम्बडो मत्प्राणनाथास्तु न एव नापरा सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द सो कृष्ण इस् सेयिङ्ग् दट् इफ् यू हेव् टु बिकम् फ्री फ्रम् दीस् प्राब्लम्स् पैशुनम् एण्ड् अदर्स् टिल् यू कम् टु दट् लेवल् आफ् सर्वात्मभूतेषु एस् ही सेड् सर्वभूतेषु यपश्येत् भगवद्भावम् आल्पना Krishna is always showing to us that's where it should be. The end has to be there only. That is the goal. Sarvabhudeshu yapashyet bhagavad bhavam. That's the only solution. And if that is happening, that means these divine qualities he has spoken, Devi Sambhata, is there in that person. If it's not there, if the Sarvabhudeshu yapashyet bhagavad bhavam is not here. Normally, we are looking at Upadhis, isn't it? We are dealing with Upadhi all the time, throughout the day, with different people. All we are dealing is with the Upadhi each other. Suppose I am in the bodily identity, I will see you as the body. If I am on the mental platform, I'll see you as the mind. If I am on the intellectual platform, I'll see you as the intelligence. That is how it is connected. So, in the same way, if I am seeing that I am the Antaryami inside, then I will only see the Antaryami in you. I won't see your body. You see? So, Upadhi is a big thing in this. So, when you are relating in the Upadhi level, each other, on the Upadhi level, each other, this problem will be there. That's the point Krishna is making there. So, Sarvabhudeshu yapashyet, this is the very important part in Bhagavatam, Ekadasa Skandam also. This one thing, when Uddhava said to Krishna, it is not possible for me to do what you have told me to do. At the end, you remember, Sudushchara Mimam Manye, in the 29th chapter, you will see that. All what you said is fantastic, and it is proper knowledge. Uddhava is accepting everything. But then he said, it is not possible. Like we all say, it is not possible. It's beyond our capacity to do these things, right? So, therefore, Krishna says first that if your Upadhi, if your Shraddha falls into somebody's Upadhi, then you will find some fault in everyone. Somewhere you will find some fault in everybody. If your Shraddha, attention, is in the Upadhi, right? And therefore the solution is only one thing, to see the Antaryami in everyone. That's the only way you can get out of that problem. Suppose I am seeing everyone in Upadhi, I will find some fault in that person. So therefore, the only solution, only way to come out of that is by seeing in everyone as Antaryami, Antaryami's position, right? So that is why, when you looked at that in the 29th chapter, what did Krishna say? It's all about seeing, not to see in the upadhi, right? He says, brahmane, pulkase, stene, brahmanye, arke, spulingage, akrure, krureve chaiva, samadrik panditomada. He says, isn't it? Brahmane, pulkase, stene, brahmanye, arke, spulingage, akrure, krureve chaiva, samadrik panditomada. Krishna is trying to tell Uddhava, Uddhava, if everything else is not working for you, this is the goal, this is the destination where you have to get. So therefore he said, so ultimately, this is the secret Krishna has given to Uddhava. This is the secret. Uddhava says to Krishna, I want Shanti, right? And a lot of instructions he gave right up to that chapter, 29th chapter, right? And Uddhava says to Krishna, whatever you have said is all correct, but I want Shanti now. I want Shanti now, right? So give me a path for that, how I can get Shanti now. So Krishna started that answer, if you look, Handa, he says, Handa. Handa te kathayishyami, mama dharman sumangalan, yan shrade acharan martyo, mrityum jayati durjayam, he said. You remember, Krishna is 120 years old when he spoke this. Just before leaving this world, Krishna lived in this world according to our Puranams, everything. Vedavyasa Maharshi also says 125 years he spent time in this world. So he is about 120 years when he spoke this. Of course, Krishna has no age when you look at it. I'm talking about that form, what was present here, right? So, so that spiritual master, Krishna there, talking to Uddhava, ultimately says that, Uddhava, do you want it right now? Then I will tell you what is that you have to do. Visarjas mayamanansvan, drisham vridanja dehigim, praname dandavad bhumav ashwachandala ghokaram. That is the way to do it. Again, that is also difficult for us, isn't it? You see the next verse he said, 16th verse. Visarjas mayamanansvan, drisham vridanja dehigim, praname dandavad bhumav ashwachandala ghokaram, he said. So, he says that people who are very close to you in life, who are very close to you, right? And who says to you, these people are my people, they are my family, my friends, right? And such people, you give them a special treatment for them because they are your people. You feel like that, isn't it? Family life also, it's like that. Family members, our relations, they are yours, you feel. That feeling has to go, Krishna says first, right? Because that's a special relationship you have with the family members and the relatives, right? That special relationship, he says, that's what he's saying there, because it is based on the body. Drisham vridam cha dehigim, he says. Deham is the only foundation for that. Based on the deham only you are saying, they are mine. So give up that first. This is how you become free from upadhi. Upadhi is a difficult thing to overcome, isn't it? Material attachment on a bodily level is very, very strong. And Krishna is saying to Uddhava, if you want to become free from that, the first thing what you have to do, those people who are very close to you on a bodily level, become disconnected from them first. Drisham vridam cha dehigim, right? And if you do that, he said, and such people, you have a special relationship with it. That speciality with them, that is what is called a daihigim. Yeah? Drisham, because it is based on the body. That's the first thing. It is completely based on the body, isn't it? All relations and family and friends and all is totally based on the body. It has nothing more to it. You may be interested in spiritual life. They may not be interested at all in spiritual life. But still, you will invite them for your home, they will invite you to their home, you are visiting each other, you are communicating each other, completely based on the body. And Krishna says, that's not helpful. Drisham vridam cha dehigim, he says, realize that first, he said. So then, and then, based on the body, you are also looking at them and saying, these things are good in that person, these things are bad in that person. And then, some people, they will look at the form only of others. how they look like. And look, based on the form, they'll make judgments. Oh, he looks very good, or he looks very impressive. And things like that, they'll make statements also, right? So, these things, what Krishna making it clear is that, you know, looking at a person's features of the body and making judgment is called Samudriya Lakshanam. Samudriya Lakshanam means there's a Shastram behind it, Samudriya Shastram. Based on the Samudriya Shastram, you can analyze a person's form and say about it a few things. Yeah. So these things are happening in your brain. All these things are happening in your brain, right? If you have all those things, Krishna says, you will never have Shanti inside. Yeah? Shanti inside. So, Drisham Vridam Cha Dehigim, he is saying there, right? Give up all these things and try to see everyone in the platform of the soul as Antaryami. When you say like that, you will find that a bit difficult. Because we are not used to that thing, isn't it? When Krishna said that words, you see, you know when Krishna started speaking those verses, the first word he said was handa. Handa means, when you say handa means, that what am I supposed to tell you now? He said, I've spoken to you for 1,000 verses, he has already spoken. And then Uddhava is saying here, Sudushchara Mimam Manni. That's how Uddhava begins that chapter, 29th chapter. This is the last chapter in the Uddhava Padesham. And there Uddhava is saying that it is very difficult what you have said. But is there any other way? Uddhava asks that question, right? Yogacharyam Analpana Yad Anjasa Puman Siddhil Tanme Bruhi Anjasa Achyuta Prayasha Pundari Gaksha. He says, first of all, age-wise, Uddhava has the same age as Krishna, age-wise, right? Prayasha Pundari Gaksha. And Yunjando Yogino Manaha Vishidandi Asamadhanam Mano Nigraha Karshidaha. And things what you have spoken to me till now, at this stage in my life, what am I supposed to do with it? Uddhava is asking. So I am not surprised that when we are also asking the same questions, isn't it? What am I supposed to do now in spiritual life? We have come this far, now what am I supposed to do? And the Uddhava asks the same question to Krishna also. Vishidandi asamadhanam mano nigraha karshidaha. He says, controlling the mind and all, the way you have spoken, it's not possible, he said. Uddhava bluntly said to Krishna, it's not possible to do that. Yeah. So then when he said all these things, even Krishna felt depressed. Seeing after speaking all these things for so many hours to Uddhava, then Uddhava comes back with this answer. Naturally you can understand how he felt. So that is why he said that handa. He says to Uddhava, if it is like that, that I have said all these things and nothing has worked. Handa, what am I supposed to do? Krishna is saying this. What am I supposed to do? Handa de kathayishami. Mama dharman sumangalan yan shrande acharan martyo mrityam jayati durjayam. Uddhava wants shanti. And Uddhava says that what you have spoken so far is not practical. So at the last solution, the very last solution, what Krishna is able to offer to Uddhava is this. He says, praname dandavad bhumav asya chantala ghokharam. That's the answer for that. And we will find that also difficult. So that's where we are at. Yeah. So what Krishna said was that, what that means is, see everyone as soul, not as the body. Purely as the Antaryami inside. So, because it is, and this is what Vedantam also saying. Vedantam, this is Vedantam only. What Krishna is saying is purely Vedantam it is, right? So before Vedantam becomes practical in life, right? Therefore, Krishna has said many things before that you should follow the dharmam, path of dharmam. And he put some fencing on both sides. Stay within this fencing. Don't cross over to either side, right? So Vedantam and dharmam, that is connected each other. Dharmam is the lamp that is keeping everything clear to us, right? And it is with that lamp you are lighting the lamp of Vedantam. In other words, the knowledge of Vedantam can only happen if there is dharmam in a person's life, right? And if you are following dharmam seriously, properly in life, more than what is necessary, you won't get involved with anybody else in life. Yeah, more than necessary, you won't have any vyavaharam with anyone in this world, more than what is necessary, right? Because dharmam is actually sneham. Sneham means love. You see, love is also misunderstood in this world. Everything what Krishna says has a different meaning than what it is normally understood in this world. Sneham means love. Love is not an emotion as far as Krishna is concerned. What Krishna says is that love, what you feel towards someone else on an emotional platform, that is selfishness. On an emotional platform, if you're feeling a love towards somebody else, that is purely selfishness, right? Just like two people loved each other, they fell in love with each other, and they got married, and after 1 or 2 years, they couldn't get along very well, and then they divorced each other. What does that show? That the love, that there is no intelligence in that love. That's not a proper love. That's not the love Krishna is talking about. Krishna is saying here that sometimes I've come across this many times. A man attracted to a woman, right? Or a boy, young men get attracted to young girls. And if you say, he will tell you also sometimes, oh, she is so attractive that her nose is so beautiful, or her ear is so beautiful, or things like that. Men are like that. Men get carried away by that, right? And then it is based on that he married her. Seeing the nose or seeing the ear or seeing the smile, something happened between them and he married her, and then it didn't last very long. After a few years, she is also getting old, he is also getting old, everything is changing, right? So seeing that the eyes were very good or the nose was good and she was very slim and she was good looking and all these things, and or she was very white and she was not black, and white or black, whatever it is, right? So that is what he is saying here. Drisham vridam cha dehigim. See that word? Don't go by what you see with your eyes and identify with it. That's what it is. Drisham vridam cha dehigim. Drisham means to see things. And dehigim, on a bodily level, and make relationships and you will fall. That's the first thing. You see, visrajya svayamanan swan drisham vridam cha dehigim. See, drisham vridam cha dehigim is what Krishna is pointing at, right? So if you have that problem, drisham vridam cha dehigim, then that means seeing the body, you got attracted, asakti, attachment, and similarly hate also. Later on it may become hate. Initially it starts with attachment, and later on it turns into hate, each other, right? Drisham vridam cha dehigim. So, that means, its whole thing is dependent on the body. Attraction, repulsion, everything is dependent on the body, right? So, Krishna saying here that, this relationships based on the body, give up that, looking at others and making relationships with others based on the body. In this world, that is how all relationships are like that, based on the body, right? Give up, don't feel ashamed about it, he said, that looking at others based on the body, give up that first. So, that's what it is. Visrajyas mayamanan swan, drisham vridam cha dehigim, right? And so, for that to happen, yeah, for that to do that, he said, that what do we have to do practically for that? That's the next line. Praname dandavat bhumau asya chandala ghokaram. The second line, yeah? Praname dandavat bhumau asya chandala ghokaram. That means, if you have ahangaram inside, ego, ahangaram inside, to fall down in front of everyone and to offer obeisances will be very difficult. Isn't it? People select whom I should offer obeisances, whom I should not. They make their own decisions inside. That means they have not understood this principle of offering obeisances. Yeah. Krishna says, if either is a chandala, that means one who coming from the lowest level, or if it is a cow, or it's a donkey, or ashwa chandala ghokharam, donkey, cow, whatever a chandala, whoever it may be, you should be able to offer obeisances to all of them. Suppose you go into the street and you see a dog, you should be able to offer obeisances to the dog. How many people can do that? So the point Krishna is making here is this, that, see, for example, some people will ask before they offer your obeisances, how old are you? They will ask, right? Because they want to offer, if they are elder to them, they will offer obeisances to you. But if you are younger, they think, I don't need to offer obeisances to him. They'll make a judgment in that way, right? So, Krishna's point is, whether he is a chandala, or whether it is a cow, or whether it is a donkey, offer obeisances to them. Because they are lower than you in the society, is it not? Chandala normally means, chandala means, you know what chandala means. Chandala means what they call as the outside the Vedic culture. They practically have no culture. Practically no culture, right? It so happened in their life, by birth, they got a body like that, and then it becomes very difficult. And to in that society, when Krishna is talking about, Varnashrama Dharma was very strong at that time. And in that Varnashrama Dharma society, to offer obeisances to chandala requires a lot of strength. For a brahmana to do that, it would be very difficult. Is it not? Because chandalas were kept away from the whole society. They'll eat cows, they'll kill cows, they'll eat the cows. And they will do a lot sorts of things. Suppose a cow is dead at home, if you tell them, they'll come and take the dead body and they'll eat that cow. So that was their way of life, chandalas, right? So chandala is the one, cow eaters, you can say, cow's flesh eaters, people who are eating that. To offer obeisances to him is very difficult for a brahmana. Very difficult for a brahmana. So Krishna is saying that if you have come to this situation, that you can't do anything with your mind, controlling the mind is concerned, the only option you are left with is this. Anyone and everyone you see in this world, you should be able to offer respects to them. Wholeheartedly, you have to offer respects to them, seeing me in them, and gradually, even if you have not sensed it first, it will come to you later. You will start recognizing it later, right? So, in this way, is it possible to do that for all the time? That question comes, yeah? So therefore, he is saying if it is difficult, he said, So, if you look at next verse, you see that. Yavat sarveshu bhudeshu madbhavam nopajayate tava deva upasidam vang mana kaya vrtibhi. That's the solution for that. He says, is it possible to do this? Verse 16, Visrajasmayamanansvan, Drisham Vridamja Dehigim, Praname Dandavad Bhumau, Ashwa Chandala Ghokaram. If you are finding that difficult, he says, and what should you do then? He said that Yavat Sarveshu Bhudeshu, till you start seeing Krishna in everyone. Till that time, you keep doing this. That's the solution to the problem, he says. These are not simple things. Eh? People who have... I told you this story about Kudalur. Kudalur was a brahmana who studied Ekadasha Skandam very well. This 11th canto, right? And he comes from a family of a very highly learned people. They were running a Gurukulam. So many brahmana boys were studying there, Shastram. And very wealthy people also. And Kudalur left that family relationships and moved away from that. And alone he was studying Ekadasham and practicing it on a daily basis. He wanted to verify where is he at in spiritual life. So he has done a lot of experiments with it. Whether he is making any headway in his realizations. So when he comes out from the temple, he sees a dog in the street and he will offer obeisances to the dog. And he says, and he has a mantram for that, for everything. Shwana Rubine Vadalayeshaya Namaha. That was the mantram he will chant. Krishna, who has come in front of me in the form of a dog, I am offering my obeisances to you. Saying that, he will offer obeisances in the street to the dog. When an elephant came, he says, Hasti Rubine Vadalayeshaya Namaha. Offer obeisances to the elephant in this way. He is checking himself, am I getting that state, what Krishna is talking about? In one instance, he prepared a lot of sweet rice and took it to the beach. And there's lots of fishermen there. And he told all of them to sit there and he personally served them. Looking at his background and looking at their situation. Yeah. And why was he doing that? Because he wanted to see, make sure that he feels this Antaryami's presence in them. So like this, you have to offer obeisances at the time, same time, continuously experiment yourself. Up to what point? Krishna says, Yaval Sarvesha Bhudeshu, in all living entities, Madbhavam, presence of Krishna, Nova Jayade, if it has, till it happens, till that happens, Tava Devam Upasida, till then this Uvasana must continue, Vang, Mana, Kaya, Vrithivi, with the words, with the mind and with the body, this service should continue. That's the option for that. So, this is, Krishna is saying this at the end of Ekadasham, you see. So, this is how Krishna spoke to him. And if you have little bit of ahangaram inside, you won't be able to do that. If you have little ahangaram inside, you won't be able to do that. Because ahangaram will say, why do you have to do all these things, right? So, ahangaram is there, means there will be some disturbance inside, ashanti inside. And therefore, continuously, exactly what are you doing? Actually, what you are doing is, you are surrendering regularly to everybody in this world, accepting that Krishna is present in them. So that surrender to everybody in this world, under any cost. So that is the way Krishna has spoken to Uddhava. If you cannot do anything, what Krishna has spoken before in Ekadasham, which Uddhava said that it is not possible for him to do it, then Krishna told Uddhava, this is the only option what is left for you. Continuously surrendering to everybody in this world, accepting that you are surrendering to Krishna in that person, with that understanding. Yeah. So that is what, in that process what will happen is, all other people will take advantage. Naturally, they will walk over you. They will walk over you, right? But you should be able to tolerate that. Let them walk over me and able to surrender in that way. So surrender is not an easy thing. Surrender is also a difficult thing, right? So this is called surrendering. Proper, continuously surrendering to the all Krishna's manifestations in this world. If you can't do everything what Krishna has spoken before, Krishna says this is the last option. Surrender to me in all the forms what you see in this world. Whether it's a dog or a cat or a donkey or a chandala or brahmana, whoever it may be, right? So, what happens then is, they will walk over you means that your ahangaram will be crushed. The ego will be crushed, right? In that process, this ahangaram will leave you from inside, right? And that's what he was saying in that verse. Brahmane pulkase stene. How can you compare these two? Brahmana and pulkasa. They are two different people, isn't it? Stene, thief. Brahmani, arke, spulingage. Akrure, krurage, cheva, samadruk panditomada. How can you see everyone equal like that? Samadrika. Samadrika means equal vision. Equal vision to see in a Brahmana as well as a Pulkasa. Pulkasa is a lower one. Brahmana is the highest one. Krishna is saying that you have to get to that stage, Samadrika. Equal vision in all of them. Yeah. Brahmani arke spulingage akrure krurage chaiva. A wicked person and a good person. You have to see in both equality. Equality is what Krishna is talking about. Not based on the Upadhi, purely because of Krishna's presence in them, in that way. samadrak panditomada. So those three verses, 14, 15, 16, they are all verses for a lot of reflection. And then you will know that spiritual life is not what you think, that something by your working hard, that it will happen. Lot of sadhana and all that. You will see that these are things Krishna is saying, what will create this divine nature in us. It will cultivate like that, yeah. So he said, Yaval sarveshu bhudeshu mad bhavo nopajayate tavadeva upasira vangmane kaya vritti bhi. So, and so whatever it may be, he said, that the whether he is krura or akrura or samadrak panditomada. So samadarshanam, equal vision, right? So samadarshanam means you are not seeing everyone equally. Instead, when they are in contact with you, your equal vision is not disturbed. You are able to see, recognize that same Antaryami, what is inside you, is present in them. So basically, it is your consciousness has to change. So, Paishunam we were talking about, isn't it? So, Paishunam, what Krishna mentions, Apaishunam, isn't it? So, Paishunam is the problem. This Paishunam, if you become free from Paishunam, then Shanti will come. For that, you have to see the problems what Paishunam creates in life, right? Suppose I have talked ill about somebody else, I have to recognize that what problem it will create. So as much as possible, not to pick up those things about finding faults with others and taking it into your own mind, right? Not to allow that to get inside your mind, right? And things like television, newspapers, all these kind of things, they are nothing but Paishunam only. Purely Paishunam it is, all media, right? So, you can't say this to the world outside, because this is meant for people who are serious in spiritual life, for those who are doing sadhana. It is for them Krishna has said all these things, not to the whole world. He's not saying to the world outside, yeah? So, yeah. Whereas the world wants the media, world wants newspaper and television and everything. World is not going to give up television because Krishna has said like this. Right? So, like you can see in the modern world, when you are, what has happened in Lebanon, what has happened in Ukraine, what has happened in Gaza. All these, every day you are hearing this, day after day. And that is Paishunam it is, pure Paishunam, right? And at the same time, a lot of problems are happening in his own house. He is not seeing that. He sees all the problems happening in the rest of the world. Right? So, then he said, Daya Bhudeshu, that next one he is talking about. Yeah, Daya Bhudeshu Aloluptam Mardavam Hri Achapalam. He said, isn't it? Daya. Daya means, now, if this Paishunam Dosham goes away, you know, one is connected to the other. Ahimsa, Satyam, Akrodham. Tyagam, Shanti, Apaishunam. Then comes Daya. So Daya will come if Paishunam stops. Otherwise Daya won't come. Yeah? Daya means this Krishna's mercy will come to the heart. Mercy is Krishna's quality, not our quality. It is Antaryami's quality, it is mercy. So that compassion for others, right? That will come to us. And which means, proper daya means, without being selfish, right? We feel pain for other living entities suffering. Some people say like this, that I don't feel any compassion for others. What can I do? They say, they are suffering. What am I supposed to do? I can't do anything about it anyway. So why should I worry about it? A lot of people say like that, isn't it? So why is he not feeling the sufferings of others? Most of us don't feel the sufferings of others so much. But but within the family, if anybody is suffering, you feel. You're not feeling compassion for anyone else. That is based on selfishness. Again, based on selfishness, right? So, within one's own family, if somebody is suffering, naturally you will feel some compassion, suffering, you will feel that suffering, right? But those who have no connection with you, and when they are suffering, if you are not feeling any compassion for them, that means your divine nature is not very good. That's where you test it. Suppose you are not feeling any compassion for others who are no way connected to you, but still you are feeling pain in their suffering, then you can say that there is some divine nature in you. But if it is feeling only within the family members, you are feeling it is not considered there. It's not considered there. There means feeling in the sufferings of others who are not connected with you. But when you see them suffering and feeling compassion for them, then it is there. That's what he is saying there. Ahimsa, Satyam, Akrodham, Tyagam, Shanti, Apaishunam. And that will only happen when your Apaishunam is there. When Paishunam is there, it won't happen, Krishna says. So it has to become Apaishunam. Without Paishunam, only then this Daya will come to us, right? So, and in that case, if you feeling pain, seeing the suffering of others who are not connected with you, and still if you are feeling the pain of others, that is coming from Antaryami. That's coming from Antaryami. That is Ishvara's qualities. Ishvara's qualities. There is a famous prayers. Shalpadi Sotram. In that Sotram it says, Avinayam Apanaya Vishnu, Demaya Mana, Shamaya Vishaya Murgatrishnam, Bhudadayam Vistaraya, Taraya Samsara Sagarada. That's the first verse in that. Yeah. So, Bhudadaya. Bhudadaya means compassion to other living entities, right? What does that mean? Bhudadaya means Sarvalpa Bhavam. That you recognize that Krishna is present in them. So, unless this Sarvalpa Bhavam comes, you won't be able to feel compassion towards others. You have to first recognize Krishna is present in that living entity, right? So, if you are able to see it like that, that means your divine nature is working inside. Only when Antaryami allows that, it will happen. You see, feeling compassion for family members and all that, that is selfish feeling it is, because they are, in a bodily level, you are connected with them, is it not? But you don't feel compassion for those who are dying in Ukraine or dying in Gaza or dying in somewhere else, whatever that is happening all over the world, right? You're not feeling anything about it. You're just leaving. I can't do anything about it. That's our approach about it. What Krishna is saying here is that if you have Sarvalpa Bhavam, if you have developed this Sarvalpa Bhavam, which one, what he mentioned there earlier, right? That what he said, Sarvabhudeshya Pashyat Bhagavad Bhavam, that is called Sarvalpa Bhavam. If you have started realizing Krishna's presence in others, then, only then, this will happen. This Daya will come. Buddha Daya. Daya will come, right? So, having Daya or compassion towards family members is not a big thing. It's not a big thing, right? But where you have no benefit, there is some benefit. That's why you are having that feeling for the family members when they suffer, right? But where you have no interest at all, absolutely no connection with you, and in such a place, when somebody is suffering, if you are feeling compassion for them, that is there. That's what he is saying there. Krishna is making that clear to us, right? So, and when you think about them suffering like that, if you are feeling pain inside, that is samadhi. Krishna says it is samadhi, right? That means without any selfish motive, simply because of Antaryami inside is feeling that, and Antaryami expressing it through you, there, compassion towards others. So, without any selfishness, that Madhubhavam it is, that compassion, that is Krishna's Karunyam, right? And that is not his Swabhavam, nor it's coming from the Prakriti. It is coming from Antaryami. You see the difference? That something comes from our Swabhavam, something comes from the Prakriti, and something comes from Antaryami. Krishna is saying, that daya what you feel towards others who are no way connected with you, but they are suffering in this world, and feeling compassion for them, that daya, if Krishna says, it's coming from me, Antaryami, right? So, when that daya comes, and sarva bhudeshu yapachet bhagavad bhavam bhudeshu, and not only to other people, which are not connected with us, even to the other animals, birds, everything, in all of them, it is called Devi Sambhata. It is called Devi Sambhata. And that is daya coming from Ishvara. And that is why Krishna says there that akrotham tyagam shanti avaishanam daya. Daya. Then he said, after that, aloluptam, he says. The next word is aloluptam. You see that chapter words? Daya bodeshu aloluptam. Aloluptam means, lolubada means asakti, enjoying mood all the time. Just want to enjoy life. Always thinking in terms of that, how can I enjoy in life? This mindset, wanted to enjoy, right? Vishaya asakti. Asakti means a desire to enjoy. I want to enjoy at any cost in that thinking, right? So, and for that, you want many, many things in this life, different things to enjoy life, right? So, and that desire, or in other words, excessive attachment for sense gratification, one way or the other. Yeah. So, that is called aloluptam. Aloluptam. So, that's called loluptam, but without that lolupada, it is called. Without that lolupada, it's called aloluptam. And aloluptam means that if you have this aloluptam, only then you will have daya, what Krishna spoke before. Daya bodeshu aloluptam. If you have aloluptam only, you can have daya. They are all connected to each other. Yeah? So, sometimes you will see, you feel some daya towards somebody, right? Which means that there is some attachment inside. For example, daya towards all living entities, right? That is a symptom of great personalities. Great personalities. Only they will feel that. Daya for the whole world, for the rest of the living entities, right? So, there is a story about that. When Vivekananda was living in Kshir Bhavani, in the Himalayas, where he was living, Kshir Bhavani time, at that time in Calcutta, there was a big plague attack. This happened before the independence. A plague attacked in Calcutta, big cities. At that time, Calcutta was a big city. There was more population than Bombay or Delhi or anywhere. Calcutta had a much bigger population. That's where East India Company began their business there. So, and loads of people were dying, just dropping dead. I think in London also they had something like that before, isn't it? A plague attack happened. Yeah. So similarly, plague comes means people die very fast. You just drop dead at houses, 4 or 5 members were automatically dying at that time, right? So, he is living in Kshir Bhavani, which was away from Calcutta. And he was thinking like this, that it hurt him so much. So he wrote a letter to Belur Madham, that is their headquarters. He said, sell the building and whatever money you can get, give that money to help these people who are dying like that. Do something for them, he said. His argument was, why do sannyasis need all this accommodation, first of all? That was his question. Why does the sannyasis need accommodation? You see, a lot of things what going on in the world today, don't carry away by that, because people think that a sannyasi means you should have an ashram and that should be a 5-star ashram. All the facilities should be there, and a lot of disciples to look after you. And you are thinking that this is ideal sannyasi. This is a big blunder. This is not a sannyasa ashram. This is a grihastha ashram sannyasi is leading. A nice grihastha ashram. Basically, that's what it is. Yeah. So don't try to put sand on your eyes and cover your show to the world that you are a great sannyasi. Nobody is going to accept that. Sannyasa means that you don't need a place of residence. You have to be free. But people make sure that in sannyasa ashram now that they have a proper place to live, all comforts available, and then people will take care of you, take care of you. When all these things are there, they are happy that he is a good sannyasi. Oh, you got everything, all facilities at home. So that's not sannyasam, yeah? So Vivekananda says, sannyasis, why do we need ashram? He said, sell that matam and give the money to them. So let them survive whoever can, right? So then he said, one devotee asked him, why do you feel so painful about this situation for the plague? What happened? He says, there is deep ecstasy in pain, right? And even that pain is not a distress, he said. Because when you feel selfish, that is the distress. That was his answer for that, which is a higher understanding, is it not? That when you are very selfish, and then when others are suffering, and if you are feeling distress from that, because of our selfishness, that is proper distress. Vivekananda's answer was that. Vivekananda says there, that there is deep ecstasy in pain, he said. That when they are suffering like this, and if I give everything to them, and I feel a great feeling inside, feeling that I have given up everything and not able to. So, point is, kamam, desires, anger and all these things, independently, they cannot give you happiness, right? Swartham it is, selfishness, right? So, swartha kamam, swartha kopam, swartha daya, this is all everything based on selfishness. And that is a distress. That is a distress, right? For example, people who are very attached to you, connected with you, showing compassion to them, that's not even considered importance. That's not given any importance, right? That means for some benefit, you have keeping that relationship going through that. That's all it is. That is selfishness, right? So, all these Devi Sambhata, what Krishna has spoken so far, Ahimsa, Satyam, Akrodam, Tyagam, Shanti, Avaishanam, Deya, Bhudeshu, Aloluptam. If it is all there, he said, will only work if you take the selfishness out of it. Out of that, yeah. Selfishness is not there, then Deya comes there, and that is called Aloluptam. If selfishness is not there, and Deya comes into that, then that quality is called Aloluptam. Aloluptam is that, right? So, and that will, because of that tyagam, it leads to shanti. Leads to shanti. So, you see, one after the other, ahimsa, satyam, akrodam, tyagam, shanti, deya, aloluptam. Then he says, if it goes like that, in their heart will start melting inside. Due to that deya, it starts melting. And that is coming from antaryami. You know, many things, what is going on inside us, different emotions, right? You have to know very clearly where they are coming from. I mentioned in the beginning, the demoniac nature comes from ahankaram. Divine nature comes from antaryami. So, whenever a divine quality is manifesting in us, you can take it is coming from antaryami. Yeah? So, that is why, that is Krishna's manifestation it is. That you are feeling compassion for someone who is no way connected to you, but seeing their suffering and feeling that compassion for them there, that comes from antaryami. That comes from antaryami. And that is Vishnu. And that is not the individual's quality. It is antaryami's quality that is coming out, right? It's not coming from your mind. Whereas the relationships at home with the family and all that, you feeling compassion and you feeling due to attachment, that is all coming from the mind, part of the ahankaram inside. That's all. It has nothing to do with, it's a part of the ahankaram it is, demonic nature, right? So that thing, what coming from antaryami, That is, sometimes they say it's coming from Vishnu or Hari or Shiva, right? Or it is also spoken from Devi. As Andaryami, yes, Madhur Bhavam it is. Mother, because mother's love is considered to be the purest one in this world, which has the least selfishness of all. Mother's love is, that's why it's given so much importance to it, isn't it? Mother's love is given the highest position because there is no selfishness involved in that. But that is why you see that famous prayers, Shyamala Dandakam, Ya Devi Sarva Bhudeshu Daya Rubena Samstida Samastase Namastase Namastase Namo Nama. Daya Rubena Samstida. When Daya means compassion, comes from inside, it is coming from you. That's what that prayer says. Ya Devi Sarva Bhudeshu, that mother who is present inside as Devi, Daya Rubena Samstida, in the form of Daya. She comes in the form of Daya. Similarly, she comes in the form of Shanti as well. Shanti Rubena Samstida. Similarly, he comes in the form of Shakti, energy. Shakti Rubena Samstida. Similarly, she comes in the form of Smriti. Smriti Rubena Samstida. Similarly, she comes in the form of Buddhi. Buddhi Rubena Samstida. So, if you study that prayers, it is there in the Shyamala Dandakam, famous prayers in the Devi Mahatmyam. It is talking about, because she is approached as a mother. And the mother's different manifestations in these different forms coming from the Andaryami in that way. Andaryami sometimes is referred to as Krishna, as Shiva or Devi. Anyway, it can be addressed in any way. Andaryami is Andaryami. But Andaryami, you are giving it a form, saying Krishna or Vishnu or Shiva or Devi in that way. Right. So, this is how that prayers, they are offering respect not to Devi directly, but instead to the Devi Sambhata. This divine nature of her. Her divine nature, you are offering obeisances to her. Ya Devi Sarvabhudeshu Dayarubena Samstida Namastase 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 Namo Nama. Similarly, Ya Devi Sarvabhudeshu Shandirubena Samstida Namastase 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 Namo Nama. Similarly, Shakti Rubena Samstida Namastase 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 Namo Nama. So similarly, all these offering is done to the Andaryami, from whom all these qualities are coming out, right? So, and that qualities are not that person's quality. It is the quality of the Andaryami that is coming out, right? So, and that is showing actually the manifestation of the Andaryami is what you are noticing there, that in that Daya, compassion, right? Prayers comes as a part of, you must have heard this, Mahishasura Mardini Stotram. That's a famous stotram, Mahishasura Mardini. Right? Mahishasura was a big demon, and this Devi kills him. Right? So, Mahishasura Mardini, when does she become like that? When this ahangaram inside, the subtle side behind that is, when the ahangaram gets destroyed inside, naturally, compassion, kindness, and all this, aloluptada, and with that daya, that means the benefit of that is that daya or compassion without selfishness, without swarthada. And if it is happens like that, and when those things happens in a person, if it comes to that stage, then Krishna is saying that what will happen is mardavam will come to him. Mardavam, the next step. Daya Bhudeshu Aloyaluptam Mardavam, he says. So one leads to another. Ahimsa Satyam, Akrodam, Tyagam, Shandi, Abhaishunam, Daya Bhudeshu Aloyaluptam. Then if you have reached there, the next step will be Mardavam. What does Mardavam mean? Mardavam means that a lightness in you, you become very light. You are not heavy anymore. You become a very light person. In other words, you become very mild in your nature, right? Yoga Vasishtam will say this, Andha Sheetalataha. Just like as though you are in the full moon day, how you enjoy the full moonshine in the same way, right? So, inside, when a person has a lot of disturbances and very disturbed inside. At that time, just like instructions from his guru helps him, that Shitalada it makes you feel at that time that Mrudu Bhava. Mrudu Bhava means Mardavam. Mrudu Bhava. Mrudu means you are become very light. Inside you have become very light because of these qualities inside, divine nature, right? You may ask a question that if you have this Mrudu Bhavam, this softness, nature in you, is it possible to live in this world? Because in the world, we want to be in the friend of everything, isn't it? That is the nature in the world. To live in this world, you have to be competitive one. Then always you have to make sure that you are there first. In the spiritual life, it's just exactly the opposite. You are the last one. You don't want anything from anybody. That approach, yeah? So this Mrudu Bhavam, who has God, he is called Brahmana. He is called Brahmana. Brahmana is a person who has got this Mardavam. That is his quality. That's why he is called Brahmana, because of that. So in Vaidika Sampradayam, he is called as Brahmana, who has got this Mrudu Bhavam, right? Therefore, on their own, they can't do anything because they have become too soft. If you have met proper Brahmanas, you will notice these things in them, that they are not selfish and they don't want anything from you. But at the same time, they are very kind to you and their behavior is such that you will start thinking that, is there such people also in this world? You start wondering because you are used to only these big business people competing each other all the time, trying to hit each other. But then suddenly you meet up somebody like that, you start realizing, is there people like this in this world? So compassionate to others, they don't want anything from you and they don't take anything from this world either. They are just happy with a little bit food once in a way and a place to sleep. They are more than satisfied with that. No higher ambitions, no desires, things like that. Total control on the self, on the senses, and always in a shanti state, and able to give that shanti to others as well, and they feeling they are towards everybody else. When you see these qualities, that is when you start appreciating Varnashrama Dharma. Otherwise you won't understand Varnashrama Dharma. Varnashrama Dharma, people are thinking today that it is all meant for making equal, you know, people lose, there is no equality among people, everybody should be equal, and this is whole thing is wrong because of this Varnashrama Dharma. But Varnashrama Dharma creates such first class people who have got this thing called Mardavam. And in the Vaidika Sampradayam, this Mardavam is the quality of a Brahmana. And he cannot protect himself because he does have no enemies, you see. That means he has already gone to a very higher level in spiritual life. Like Krishna said, Nirvairam, isn't it? No Vairabuddhi towards anybody. He has no enemies in this world. You can say anything to him, he will take it. He won't be affected by that. That kind of nature, right? So therefore, because it is like that, and in order to protect them, another class of people are required, and they are the Kshatriyas. So if Kshatriyas are not there, Brahmanical society cannot exist. This is the problem. So when it was, whole thing was dismantled due to wrong means, wrong preaching and wrong understanding, naturally, Brahmanas have also, because they need protection. Otherwise, they can't live in this world. They are not asking for anything from this world. All they are asking is a little bit of rice and yogurt. They are more than happy with that. Nothing more than that. And their body needs are concerned is very little. And plus, they are always kind, kind-hearted and helpful to others. And when you have conversation with them, you will start realizing what a great heart they have. You know, that inner development inside, what has happened to them. And you start really appreciating that. Whereas you go and work in this world outside, in the factories and in the businesses, all you find is selfishness, selfishness, selfishness everywhere. Totally opposite to that. Yeah. So when you see there that lightheartedness, lightness in their body and their mind and their behavior, everything, you start thinking that, is there people like this in this world? You get a shock by seeing that. Yeah. So what I'm saying is that, such people go with that Mardavam, they are called Brahmanas, and Brahmanas cannot exist in this world unless they are protected by somebody. And that's the duty of the Kshatriya. Yeah. So Kshatram, that is why Brahmanam and Kshatram goes always together side by side. Vaishya and Shudra is separate. Brahmam and Kshatram has to be together always, right? So and Krishna is saying here that a Brahmana is supposed to understand this, that if his protection is actually in Krishna's hands, Krishna's protection it is, right? That is what when he said, yoga kshemam vahamyaham, he said, their yogam, their kshemam, Krishna is saying, it's my responsibility, Krishna's responsibility, right? Now, to understand this better, Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu, you take both of them together. Yeah? Hiranyakashipu is yelling at him, to Prahlada, right? And Prahlada is so mild, he is not able to feel anything against Hiranyakashipu. Even though Hiranyakashipu is yelling at him, roaring at him, right? So, look at the power of that mildness in him, right? So, in the Narayaniyam also, it is mentions like this, that the Balamme Vaikuntha, there is a famous verse, that is, Melpathur says to them that on that particular day, Melpathur arrived in the temple around 7 o'clock in the morning. He was suffering from his arthritis problem, heavily painful. So he walked into the temple, he went and sat there. And then Krishna asked Melpathur, what are you going to say today? He said, yesterday, I'm going to talk about the story of the lion, he said. Krishna is a little boy, he's asking, boys like to hear the stories. So Melpathur said to him, today I'm going to talk the story of the lion, he said. And then he said, Pija Shrunvan Bala Prakaramagilam Twal Sudibaram Rushanda Prahainam Kulahadakaste Balamiti Balam me Vaigundastavajagadam Chapisabalam Sa Eva Trilokyam Sagalamiti Dhira Oyamagadil. When Hiranyakashipu started threatening Prahlada, Hiranyakashipu is asking this question that, where is your Vishnu talking about, right? And Prahlada is not affected at all by Hiranyakashipu's threatening. He says to him that the more Hiranyakashipu was getting angry, and Prahlada was in Shapta Shandi state, not at all disturbed inside, right? And when the father is getting angry, the child is not able to understand why is he getting angry. He's thinking like that, yeah? So then you know what Hiranyakashipu did to Prahlada. Hiranyakashipu took Prahlada, threw him out from the top of a hill, kicked by the elephants, and then with the trident, they poked into his body, and all kinds of torture Hiranyakashipu has done to Prahlada, right? So when all these things was done, normally a child would have got angry with that, isn't it? Prahlada is still smiling after all this was done, right? So apparently the child thought that this also must be some kind of samskaram ceremony in this life. Like Namakaranam, Annaprashanam and all these different samskarams you do. So child, Prahlada thought that this also must be some samskaram ceremony like that. Yeah. So after every time when he was tortured like this, he will go and offer obeisances to Hiranyakashipu. Who? Prahlada. Every time he was tortured in different ways, after the torture was over, Prahlada will go to Hiranyakashipu and offer obeisances to him. Not affected by anything. Just see that Mardavam inside. How far he has gone in spiritually, right? So, and to such an extent, he was innocent, that innocence inside, right? So that is what is called Mardavam. Mardavam means inside us, the mind has completely gone. Andaryami has taken over everything, and this Mardavam is one of the finest qualities of Andaryami. Only Andaryami can give that to you. You cannot develop it otherwise. Purification means these qualities coming inside. Mardavam Hri Achapalam, he says. Krishna says there, isn't it? Mardavam is that quality, right? So, Mardava means that innocence in that child, Prahlada, right? An intelligent innocence, right? Innocence impregnated with intelligence, is it not? Because that is proper intelligence of Prahlada, that he was able to, Krishna has protected him. He had such a faith in Krishna, and Krishna has protected him all the way through. And that strong bondage between Antaryami and Prahlada, not affected by anything. Whatever Hiranyakashipu does, he has no effect on him. That's what happens. That's what happened. Murdu Bhavam, right? And apparently Gandhiji had a lot of this during the freedom movement, right? Everyone was getting very stressed out. You know, when the fight happened for the independence movement, there was a lot of, the whole country was on fire. And people were protesting, and arson was going on, looting was going on, and similarly, there was fight among Hindus and Muslims. The whole country was burning in different. Imagine such a huge population, all these things happening together. Gandhi was not affected. Gandhi used to take some grass and goes to feed his goats when all these things were reported. He was so peaceful inside about that, right? Or he will go for a walk. He says, this freedom movement, he says, is not the important thing for me. For me, what is important is self-realization. Gandhiji says so. He says, self-realization is more important for me than the freedom movement, right? So he took freedom movement as a sadhana for self-realization. That's how he dealt with it, right? So Mrudu Bhavam is that one that you become so soft inside that you have no enmity towards anyone. Vaira Bhavam completely gone. Remember what, when Prahlada appeared, one Krishna said, Nurvairaya Prashandaya So Sudaya Mahalmane Prahladaya Yadadruhye Hanishyepi Varorjidam. That is what Krishna said to the Devas, isn't it? Devas went and saw Krishna. Krishna said, let Hiranyakashipu do anything what he wants, but the moment he lays his hands on my devotee Prahlada, what is his quality? Nurvairaya, no enemies anywhere. Nurvairaya, Prashandaya, Sosudaya, Mahatmane, that Mahatma, Prahladaya, Edadruhye. The moment he gives trouble to him, his life is over. Whose life? Hiranyakashipu's life is over with that. So you have to look at Bhagavatam very carefully, these verses. Yeah. So Krishna says here that this daya is such a thing that Krishna's protection power will come, and that is this mrudutvam, what he calls this here. Yeah, mardavam is that. So, and that is coming from the Devi Sambhata. It is Devi Sambhata. So Devi Sambhata, if you study these first three verses, each one of those qualities what Krishna has spoken there, and Krishna doesn't want to discuss Asuri Sambhata. He says there is no point in discussing that. What's the point in discussing Asuri Sambhata? Asuri Sambhata, that's most of the people have got it themselves. And the whole world is Asuri Sambhata. Is it not? If you look at the world, it's only Asuri Sambhata everywhere. Devi Sambhata is someone but it's difficult to find. Very rarely you will find some Devi Sambhata. Most of the things what you deal with in this world is Asuri Sambhata. So therefore, Krishna didn't want to talk much about Asuri Sambhata. Everything he wants to talk about is Devi Sambhata. So after saying that, Krishna says that, next one, from if you have all these things, Krishna says, you will have a quality called Hri. That's the next one. Mardavam Hri, he says. Hri means you will feel ashamed to do certain things in this world, right? That means things what you are not supposed to do, you won't do it. Feeling shamed about doing certain things, right? And that is a Devi Sambhata, Krishna says. Some people are there in this world, they have no shame at all, they'll do anything what they want. Nobody can stop them, and they'll do what they like, and they don't feel ashamed about that, right? So if you have to feel ashamed of doing something, then there is some chance of escaping from here. Otherwise there is no chance. So this Hri is a quality feeling ashamed of doing certain things in this world, right? Then he said, that will leave it to na chapalam. Na chapalam means, you know what chapalam means? Chapalam means, always you are in a disturbed state. Yeah? Mardavam hri achapalam. Chapalam means, always in a disturbed state. If you ask the person, why are you running around all over the world like this? He says, I don't know. I'm just doing it, that's all, right? He's going to the north, he wants to go to the north, but actually he's going to the east. Yeah? But actually where he wants to, actually he's going to the north, but now he's going to the east, but actually he wants to go to the south. Imagine a person like that. Somebody, he's going to the north now. He's going to the north now. And you ask him, where are you going? See, I'm going to the east. But instead he's going to the south. Right? In that way. So that is what is called a chapalam. Chapalam means whole thing is inside a mess. It's a mess inside. Chapalam, right? Nothing is clear in his head what he is doing, right? He'll be here in one day, he'll be in another place another day, right? So the whole world, whole life, he will spend like this. Chapalam. Chapalam. Always, right? Different attractions. Today he find out, this is a nice place, let me spend some time here, I'll enjoy here for some time. I met somebody, I'll live with there for some time. And then after some time he says, this is boring, he found something else somewhere, gone there, taken, and going and living somewhere else, in this way. So this chapalyam is there in people, in different ways, yeah. I'll explain that, you'll find it interesting, because this chapalyam, if you want to get out of this chapalyam, what do you have to do? You have to hold on to something which has no chapalyam. That means which doesn't have chapalata in it, right? So you have to hold on to something which is achalam, which does not move. And what is that thing? That is inside Antaryami only. Only if you take shelter of Antaryami, you will develop this problem, solve this problem of chapalyam, right? If you take shelter of mind, chapalyam will be there. If you take shelter of the mind, chapalyam will be there. Why? Because mind will tell you something now. After some time, tomorrow it will say something different. And then in the morning it will tell you something, in the afternoon it will tell you something different. This is the mind. So mind is always this chapalyam, is there. But if you take shelter of the Antaryami doesn't move like that, like the way mind is moving. Mind cheats everybody, isn't it? Everyone gets trapped in the mind. And you get immediately affected by that, right? So, therefore, when you take shelter of the mind and do something, chapalata will come from that, right? Sometimes people will say like this, in satsangam everything gets clear, but as soon as I go out, everything is gone from inside, right? So, at one time you feel one way, and another time you feel differently, right? Krishna is saying, under any circumstances, chapalyam should not happen to a person. If chapalata is there, that means it is demoniac nature. So, no chapalata, no movement happens inside. And doing things which are not required, that is also, is achapalyam, right? And they'll say, do something, and you ask them, why are you doing this? He says, I don't know, I just wanted to do it, he'll say. Like that, right? They won't think like that. Is there any benefit from that? Or what is the end result? No thinking like that. It's just do it. It suits me, therefore. Sometimes people go shopping and they'll buy something, some fancy things from the shops. And they'll bring it home. And you ask them, why did you buy this? He says, I don't know, I just fancied it, he says. Something in the shop, you found it. I just bought it because I liked it. He said, that is the chapalata inside. Right? So, what is the use? So dharmam. If you leave your dharmam and behave like this, that is chapalyam. And so, there is this story, right? This chapalyam, how it happens in people. If you observe people, you can notice that, right? So, this you all have seen this. And you may start wondering why it is. It is this problem, this chapalyam. What is that? Right? So, some people in spiritual life, they will chant Hare Krishna for some time. After chanting a few years, they say, it's not working for me. Let me change the mantra. Let me try some other mantra now. Namashivaya. I start chanting Namashivaya. So for a few years they tried Hare Krishna. And it didn't work. They said, we'll chant Namashivaya now. And then after some time they're saying, no, I think I should change it. Try something else. Then starts Narayana, Narayana, Narayana. He starts chanting Narayana then after that, right? And then after he says, Stuti to Isho Mishihaya Stuti. Change the whole religion itself. Because none of the other things are not working. So he says, Hallelujah, gone into another one. And then tried Hallelujah for some time. And then that is not working. So he says, Allahu Akbar. So there are people like this, constantly changing from one to another. This is purely due to that chabalata inside. That's what it is. Yeah, you know people that are like that. And then they'll say, let me try Hare Krishna after that for some time. So switching from one to another, one to another, one to another, all the time. If you ask them, why have you changed it? He has no answer. He says, it's not working for me, they will say. It's not working for me. So this is the type of people we have in this world, right? So, and somebody will say to them, my God is more powerful than your God, you know. This is how they are converting people. They'll say like this, my God is much more powerful than you. And then if they have told you something and you have gone along with them, because that man has told like this, you accepted that and you have changed, given up your faith, so dharmam, and you have gone along with them. Yeah? And that is chapalyam. That means nothing he is clear in his head and he is not sure about anything, right? And if he has gone there, is there any peace inside? No, he cannot come back either from that. You don't know how many cases are like this. There's a lots of cases like this in this world, right? So one person, he left Sanatana Dharma and became a Christian, right? Then he went along with that for some time. But then in his childhood and all, he used to go to Tirupati, right? So one day he started thinking, I haven't gone to Tirupati for a long time. And it was bothering him inside. It was bothering him because he didn't go to Tirupati, right? But they are saying to him, the people to whom he has converted now, the people who are with him, they are telling him, don't go to Tirupati. They told him, don't go to Tirupati, right? because they are telling him, if you go to Tirupati, our God will be angry with you. Because you're going to worship an image there in Tirupati. So this person, he has left his dharmam and he has joined the other dharmam, Christian dharmam. And the Christian dharmam is telling to him that if you go, but unfortunately inside him, he is a tremendous yearning for going to Tirupati and seeing the deity there because he has been doing that for years before he moved, changed. Is it not? So in the new dharmam, he is preventing him from going back to Tirupati again. So they are telling him that if you go to Tirupati, our God will not be happy with you. So he gets confused. And then this tussle going on inside all the time, right? Before that, every year he used to go to Tirupati and then somebody told him, this is because he have left the dharmam and gone away like that, right? And in his family, some problem happened after he has moved into other dharmam, Christian dharmam, right? So, he says to him that if you change your religion, your problem will be resolved, right? So, inside his desire, because he used to go to the temple when he had difficulties in life before, to help to the temple. So, when some problem came up, again the mind is going back to Tirupati. This new in faith, what he has moved into, is not giving him any relief. The old faith, what he had, where he has found some shelter, that he has given up due to this chabalyam. That's the problem. To the chabalyam, not thinking about it, he gave up the old faith and moved into the new faith. New faith is not giving him any peace inside. So, that's what it is. So, achabalyam means that, right? All the time, this wavering mind, completely controlled by the mind and getting carried away from one thing to another. This is not a good thing. Krishna is saying that. Achapalyam. Daya bodesha alolaptam mardavam hri achapalam. So that is one, that verse. Now the next verse, teja kshama dridir shaujam न द्रोहो अतिमानी दैवीक संपदम देवी अभिजात से भारत विच यू विल डिस्कस सैटरडे ऑल ग्लोरियस श्रील प्रभुपाद
की। श्रील प्रभुपाद की।